I mean, who needs to be a coot?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, January 16, 2025. This is your award-winning Give One Nation Media Assassination, episode 1730.
This is No Agenda.
Back to watching C-SPAN and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I can tell the U.S. senators that Pam Bondage will not answer questions about the 2020 election. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Did you call her Pam Bondage?
Yeah.
It's a yes or no question, Mr. Dvorak. Yes or no? I'll take that as a no.
I love that gag. It's always great.
These guys.
It's a yes or no question. Yes or no?
Well, you know what I noticed during these hearings?
I'll take that as a no.
You know what I noticed during these hearings? Something has shifted. It's like something is, the veneer has come off, and somehow just nobody cares about the shows that these, it's all the same. Everyone's seen it so many times. The people being questioned aren't rattled by it anymore.
They refuse to answer questions that they don't want to answer.
It's just broken.
And then they fall into great line with the people. It's like Pam Bondage is a great example because
I love her new name, by the way. It's very creative.
It's befitting.
Very creative, yes.
She, you know, I looked into her. She's besides being a very accomplished, she's a tri-delt.
No.
Because I was trying to describe her to Mimi. I said, well, she's, for one thing, she just looks and acts like a sorority girl.
Uh-huh.
Completely. But you also get the, and she's pretty, and she's very telegenic. That's the key for Trump's picks.
Telegenetics.
And so she's telegenetic. She's old. She's 50. Well, old.
Hello.
Not compared to me, but she's 59. And she's a tri-delt, and so I, which is a.
We have to explain this in a way.
A sorority that all the babes go to when they're in certain colleges. It's one of the. Yeah, it probably has the most pretty.
Look at it this way, every
mean girls
for our non-American listeners. It's pretty much every American movie you've seen about a college or a university where the hot girl will never sleep with a nerd. Tri-delts.
That's basically it. Yeah.
That's it.
And so she's that type. But she's been around long enough now that she seems like the kind of woman that would stab you.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. You just look at her and you just see that you could, you know, you just look at her cross-eyed and you're going to get shivved.
You know what I like, just from a television production standpoint, as we talk as executive producers of this clear production that is always taking place during these scenarios, every single time she batted her eyes, my hair actually blew back. Did you see what she did? Something with her eyelashes that was outrageous.
It was really funny. She was holding up against the door, the dips from the Democrats, who kept all their concentration was on, do you deny, you would tell Trump to deny the 20 that he lost in 2020. That's all they were preoccupied about. So I have to assume, because she refused to go into that at all.
Well, she did her little tricky lawyer bit where Joe Biden's president.
Okay. Yeah, no, she did all the lawyer tricks, but the way she did it, it's as though they all think, and I think they might be right, she's going to go look into it.
a lot of people don't like her, you know, because they don't like her background. They don't like what she's did in the past. You know, she's not necessarily a MAGA favorite. Just FYI.
No, she's not. She's not a MAGA favorite. No,
she's not a MAGA favorite. I got to admit, I think she'll be hilarious for us.
I think she's going to be the best.
Yeah, this is good for our final four.
and the thing about, you know, someone could describe her, she takes no prisoners. I don't think so. I think she takes prisoners.
Yeah, that was good. It was good. Of course, we're all really waiting for the big one, which will be RFK. There was one moment that I just really liked during Hegseth's confirmation. That was the senator from Oklahoma.
The one who jumped on the Democrats?
Yes.
With the lecture?
Yes.
You have a clip of that?
Yeah, I got it.
You know, there's a lot of talk going about...
I should set it up. You know, of course, Pete Hegseth, he's a drunk, he's a womanizer, he's
another very telegenic male.
Very telegenic male. He's just no good. And then we get the lecture.
He's got weird tattoos.
Weird tattoos all over your chest. This will not stand.
You know, there's a lot of talk going about, talking about qualifications and then about us.
Hold on a second. Since the troll mentioned it, he is on deck to be President Trump's Secretary of Defense.
Right.
So he will be running the War Department.
You know, there's a lot of talk going about talking about qualifications and then about us hiring him if we are the board. But there's a lot of senators here I wouldn't have on my board. But let me read you what the qualifications of the Secretary of Defense is, because I Googled it and went through a lot of different sites. And really, it's hard to see. But in general, the U.S. Secretary of Defense position is filled by a civilian. That's it. If you have served in the U.S. Army forces and have been in the service for, you have to be retired for at least 7 years.
You needed to have like a little rim shot machine.
And Congress can weigh that. And then there's questions that the senator from Virginia starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy, because the man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke.
That was too bad. He ruined the whole bit by screwing up that one line. Give me a joke.
Yeah, give me a joke, he said.
I mean, what a joke. Give me a break. Give me a beat. Not give me a joke. I mean,
it is so ridiculous.
Well, actually, you know, that's an instance where I think he was caught between those two lines, the exact two lines you suggested.
Yeah.
Which was give me a break, or what a joke, or whatever the other line was.
Yeah.
And he got stuck. That's crazy. He got stuck in the middle. I came up with that stupidity.
Yeah, that was too bad. Yeah. That was too bad.
I feel the same way.
Yes. I do have a France 24 overview of Hegseth to see how the NATO countries view him, which I think will be worth listening to.
On Tuesday, Donald Trump's nominee for defense secretary faced the Senate committee tasked with validating his appointment. He was cheered into the room by supporters, but when he sat down, Pete Hegseth took quite a kicking over his advocacy in favor of practices.
What is this? He took quite a kicking. What is that all about, French 24?
That's a phrase I haven't heard.
Yeah, well, it's French English, I guess. It's Fringlish.
When he sat down, Pete Hegseth took quite a kicking over his advocacy in favor of practices classed as torture and championing convicted war criminals, as well as his alleged financial mismanagement and personal misconduct at the helm of two veterans' advocacy groups. When called upon to make his case to the committee, the Iraq War veteran and former Fox News presenter suggested the Pentagon under Joe Biden had fallen into decay.
As I've said to many of you in private meetings, when President Trump chose me for this position, the primary charge he gave me was to bring the warrior culture back to the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
He, like me, wants a Pentagon laser focused
war
on lethality, meritocracy, war fighting,
war,
accountability, and readiness.
War. And then there's Code Pink yelling in the background. Code Pink. Always, you can always hire Code Pink to come and demonstrate.
His call for meritocracy, a rallying cry against the diversity initiatives he says have weakened the U.S. military.
Good morning, Seth.
He has even gone so far as to say women should not take part in combat and faced allegations of sexual assault. A record not lost on Democratic lawmakers or on hecklers at his hearing.
Not only that, you are a Christian.
In recent months, he has also been plagued with news.
I think the guy said, you're a misogynist, not only that, but a Christian nationalist. I don't know, something like that.
In recent months, he has also been plagued with news.
What? No, he didn't say pussy. Christian nationalist.
Reports that he was regularly drunk while appearing on Fox and Friends, a Fox News show that Donald Trump regularly phoned into.
By the way, I think all the Fox News hosts should do the shows drunk. That would improve the channel. Imagine Judge Jeanine hammered. She'd be great.
The Democrats on their own will be unable to prevent Hegseth's appointment without some Republican senators breaking ranks to oppose him.
Yeah, so what I've heard is that the donors have all said to these Republican senators, if you don't confirm Trump's nominees, we're going to primary you. You'll regret the day. And I think that makes sense. Did you see any Republicans dissent?
No. The closest anyone came was Joni Ernst with Hegseth in particular.
Yeah.
And she, while during the hearing, she did relent and said she's going to support him. But she wasn't going to initially. But again, some like you said, maybe somebody knocked on her door.
Phone call from Miss Joni. Hello, Miss Joni.
Joni Ernst is an interesting because from Iowa, she was like the hard ass right winger when she ran for the first time. If you remember,
yes,
she had the guns and she was shooting and she had made a big fuss about the fact that she was a tough chick. And then, and pretty.
Yeah.
And a pretty tough chick.
Yeah, she's no tri-delt, though.
No, that's for sure. But she had, she's been compromised because she has become kind of made to vote against Republican interests. I'm just thinking. Now, I have a few confirmation clips.
Yes.
Now, I have the Pam Bondi clip of...
Say her name right.
Bondage. Yeah. Pam Bondage. Mm-hmm. She is... This is not a backgrounder. This is an actual hearing clip. Only part of a long, long clip where this is Holly, who is doing what all the Republicans did, showboating.
Yeah.
To an extreme. But this particular... point that he's making here after already he's already showboated for 5 minutes, not really asking her anything, just going on and on and on about, you know, this and that. But this little episode here I thought was kind of interesting because he got her to when there was a Republican, she said yeah whatever you want with everyone of oh yeah for sure sure so sure
yes
sure
or
yeah,
no
yeah,
yeah, question yeah. Miss Bondage.
But this is kind of an interesting little aside. This is about the Catholics, and Holly is all over this, and I think this is actually kind of interesting.
I'm sure you've read about this memo, which I now hold in my hands. This memo that was
even that. It's like at this hour, I now hold this memo in my hands. Like, really? That you're right off the bat, showboating. I hold it in my hands, America.
I'm sure you've read about this memo, which I now hold in my hands. This memo that was developed by the FBI field office in Richmond, Virginia, 23rd January 2023, targeting Catholic parishes for spying, for recruitment of infiltrators. I mean, the memo goes on and on and on about the FBI's plans to put assets into Catholic parishes, into choirs.
Choirs? This is
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Got to get those pedos.
On America's choirs is the one that got me. Just put them into choir. Yeah. Anybody here in the office can sing? Anyone can sing?
You're in. Here's your assignment. You know, was it only about Catholics? I thought it was just all Christian churches, period. I don't remember.
The memo he has is specific to Catholics, but he goes on and discusses the fact that it turns out that they were targeting all Christians.
Ah, okay. All right. But and it is the memo he has in his hands right now.
In his
now.
Hands. He's it's holding the memo. Proof, and when proof. He says on and on and on, this memo's about a six-page memo.
Wouldn't it be great if Sarah Adams had showed up in the choir? CIA target.
Okay. This is an unbelievable assault on Americans' First Amendment rights, and we only know of it because of a brave whistleblower who came forward and released it to us. And I will tell you, I have never been misled and lied to like I was by the current attorney general and the now former FBI director when they sat right where you're sitting now and told this committee, oh, we don't know anything about it. Oh, only one field office was involved. It was the single work of a single field office and a very few individuals. As it turns out, that's not true.
Did anyone tell him that Trump already won the election? That the good guys are coming in? Is this very necessary, what he's doing?
Yeah, it is for him. Because he has to get his showboating in. He's one of the better ones.
Oh, and when it comes to showboating, he's great. Yeah, there's no doubt.
He's very entertaining. Yeah.
Individuals, as it turns out, that's not true. Multiple field offices were involved. Multiple individuals were involved. Under your leadership, will you put a stop to the use of FBI or Department of Justice resources to try and recruit informants and spies into Christian churches or any church or house of worship in this country on the basis of nothing more than faith?
It's a yes or no question. Well, let me think. No, I think I'll continue with the spying on the Christians. That sounded like a really good idea, Senator.
Of course, Senator.
Let me just say this.
That.
To our knowledge, no one who was involved in the writing and performance execution of this memo has been disciplined or fired.
Ah, will you discipline them? Will you spank them with a hairbrush, bristle side down?
Will you conduct an investigation like you talked about, Ms. Bondi, that will get to the bottom of abuses like this? And to be clear, this is an outrageous abuse. It is an outrageous abuse. One of the worst abuses of Department of Justice and FBI authority in our history.
Abuse.
Really, is it worse than the January 6 people? It's outrageous.
Will you conduct an investigation to find out who signed off on this, who approved it, who advocated for it within the Department of Justice? Will you open the books on these abuses so that the American people can have confidence in their DOJ?
Yeah.
Senator, and I think what you're talking about is the ultimate weaponization, what we've been discussing all day. If I'm confirmed as Attorney General, one of the first things I will do, there'll be many, but...
Laugh tell? What's the laugh tell about bondage?
I didn't catch that the first time.
One of the first things I will do.
Senator, and I think what you're talking about is the ultimate weaponization, what we've been discussing all day. If I am confirmed as Attorney General, one of the first things I will do, there'll be many, but I will personally read that memo. And if Mr. Patel is confirmed, discuss it with him right away.
We're going to get you. That's what that left tell was. We're going to get you. We're coming for you, stooges. Yep. 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 Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Yeah. Now, here's the clip that
I have to say it's entertaining. It C-SPAN becomes entertaining once every cycle, 4 years. And it's just kind of cool to watch. You know, you can leave it on all day and like,
you know, it's not as clippable as I'd like. That clip was too long.
Too long. Well, that's why I interrupted it a lot to move it along.
But it's like all of them are that way. And it's really only part of about an 8 minutes. They're supposed to give them 5 minutes, but they go 7, 8.
Yeah. Who was in charge? Was it a Republican chairman?
No, well, it's a Senate hearing. So yeah. You end up with.
It should have been Kamala.
No, she's only a tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
The hearing, she had nothing to do with hearings.
Okay. All right.
So let's go. This is the Bondi BS summary clip.
Pam Bondi, Trump's pick for Attorney General after Matt Gaetz stepped down from consideration, had her confirmation hearing this Wednesday, a very partisan hearing with Senate Republicans highlighting the need for reform within the Justice Department and Senate Democrats grilling Pam Bondi over her involvement in the election fraud claims that the Trump campaign made back in 2021.
Ms. Bondi is highly qualified.
Beer.
And of course, as we all know, a change is desperately needed.
It is critical that any nominee for this position be committed first and foremost to the Constitution and the American people.
Not to the president.
Not any president or political agenda.
He's studious.
But President Trump claims he has, quote, an absolute right to do what he wants with the Justice Department.
Oh, no.
And that's how he conducted his first term.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had that well under control during the first term, didn't he? Really under control.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
So then the another guy that the one that got through that didn't get much discussion, but I ended up getting the clips because I know it wasn't going to be
Rubio.
Part of it.
Rubio.
Rubio just waltz.
Oh yeah. Now they love the Rubes.
They like Rubio a lot because they think that because of that one, I think the Democrats still hearken back to Rubio and the small hands joke.
And the water. And the water splashing.
And yeah. And so because Rubio was, you know, he's the only guy who could actually handle Trump.
He stood up to him. He's our man.
The tiny hands tiny material hands. Was quite good. It stuck.
Do we still have those clips? Let me see. Tiny hands.
And he was getting big laughs.
Yeah,
but he got pushback, I think, from his own people. Hey, don't try to be so funny, because Rubio's actually pretty funny.
Well, he was a cabaret dancer, so you know, he comes from showbiz.
He was a male stripper for us. I don't think we have that documented, but it seems that he probably was.
He, he comes from show business, so he understands.
Yeah, he's in the same camp as I would say Macron.
Yeah, and Zelensky.
Trudeau.
Zelensky.
And Zelensky. Oh, no, Trudeau and Zelensky in particular. Yeah, yes. Zelensky is a male stripper. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to these things on Rubio. This is confirmation Rubio, anal.
Your clip titleage.
That means analysis.
Yes, analysis. I'm well aware. It's still disturbing.
Joining us now to react to the confirmation hearing for Marco Rubio is Armin Kurdian, retired U.S. Navy captain and political strategist. Armin, thank you so much for joining us. Good to see you again. Now to begin, how do you think the confirmation hearing for Marco Rubio went today?
I think Marco Rubio is a brilliant individual. Good afternoon, Tiffany. And I think he has.
Hey, that's an interesting way of doing it. You just answer the question, then you throw in there. And good afternoon, Tiffany. How are you doing?
Went today.
I think Marco Rubio is a brilliant individual.
Yes, it didn't stop. It's like, yes. I've never, now that you mentioned, that's a stylistic difference I've not heard anyone do.
I like it. You hit the ground running.
Because most of the guys, I noticed this when you hit the show, the five that always has the one Democrat in there.
Yeah.
They always say thanks for, they always do the thank you, I'm glad to be here, blah, 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 at the very beginning.
Yeah, like,
and it kind of, it doesn't get, it's, I, you're right, this structure is better.
Yes, I think that NPR should start doing this.
They're never going to do anything.
Marco Rubio is a brilliant individual. Good afternoon, Tiffany.
Brilliant!
And I think he has already gotten a lot of positive accolades from his colleagues on both sides of the aisle. He has a very strong grasp of the issues that face this country. And has is very intelligent, very well spoken, and also very well rounded. And I think he's going to get a lot of Democrats to vote for him when this is all done and said.
To your point, it does seem this was the friendliest of the confirmation hearings so far. Now, Rubio said in his opening statement, quote, the 21st century will be defined by what happens between the United States and China. How do you see relations between the U.S. and China going forward under President Trump and Rubio as Secretary of State?
It needs to be a lot more frank, a lot more direct. China has been taking advantage of the United States in a lot of different ways. We know a lot of the issues they have with trade, but of course, the intellectual property theft, especially from our defense industry. If you just look at a lot of their mainline aircraft, their submarines and their systems and equipment, it very much is similar to our own. So that's going to be a big problem that needs to stop. Also, a lot of these cyber attacks, which, you know, the Chinese government says it wasn't us, but I'm certain it was a lot of their proxies or perhaps, some kind of public-private partnership that's going after the United States. We're going to have to get a lot more aggressive with this kind of thing. China has said they want to be ready to have a military that could mobilize and, say, take Taiwan by the year 2027. That's going to happen during the next administration. And China has been building a lot of missiles, a lot of other weapons that could actually make that happen. And in a lot of the scenarios, the war game is that the U.S. fights against a virtual Chinese adversary. The U.S. does not do well and doesn't always win.
Yeah, this is why everybody loves him, because he's rattling the cage for China. But we already know the asphalt guys are laying down runways. The shipbuilders are getting ready to build big, beautiful ships. This is what everybody wants. Everybody wants to go against China. So, yeah, he's the perfect guy. He gets it.
There was a report that was, I haven't heard any clips from, but it was a written report on how China has just produced 1 million drones.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
That's an interesting force, because if you had 1 million, then we're not talking about 20 or 5 or a couple of drones coming over. We're talking about 1 million. If you had 1 million drones attack anything, it could cause a lot of damage.
Yeah,
1 million drones.
You know that the
not even with bombs on them, just coming at you.
You know that DJI dropped their automatic no-fly zone capability in their drones. So no longer are they geofenced. You'll get a warning if you're flying your drone near a no-fly zone, but it won't automatically stay away from it, which I thought was an interesting move by the company.
That's it. That is interesting.
And I'm not sure why, other than, you know, putting the responsibility back onto the operator where it ultimately belongs. But I think we're going to see a lot more drones where they're not supposed to be because of this.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Let's go flip to Rubio.
Now, during Senator Rubio's hearing, the news broke that Israel and Hamas had agreed to the ceasefire and hostage deal. Now, Rubio didn't have a comment on that at the time. Now, the former IDF spokesperson saying on CNN last night that with Trump's threat that there would be hell to pay if hostages weren't released by the time he returned to office, no party wanted to be the one to spoil the deal. What do you make of the argument that Trump was the driving force behind this deal?
I think it's absolutely correct, because that is a change in the calculus for Hamas. That is a big thing that changed on November 5th following the election. And I think it also has to do a lot more with how Trump handled the nation of Iran during his administration and will do the same thing again. So Iran is perhaps, you know, hopeful that if they can compel Hamas to surrender, and I can't believe for a second that Iran hasn't been working behind the scenes telling Hamas, hey, you guys need to let the hostages go or it's going to be really, really bad for us, that this is a big impetus and a big reason why this has happened. As for the rest of the structure of the deal in terms of the number of hostages that are going to be released, the number of prisoners that are going to be released, Israel's withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, I think, you know, baby steps are good. What I also heard was that initially it would be 9 hostages for 110 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners. That came from a Hamas spokesman. Well, I don't know if that's entirely accurate, but regardless of what the number is, it's substantive and it's tangible. And I think, you know, Israel itself is also, they are strained fighting this war as well. It has taken an immense toll on them. So I'm sure there's a lot of folks who are eager on the Israeli side to see this war end.
Yeah, before we get to that, I want to play the money shot from Rubio, because he did have a money shot. He had a money shot. And this is the Rubio money shot that got him confirmed.
During a friendly hearing in front of a committee where he has worked for 14 years, Marco Rubio set out his worldview to fellow senators, defending Trump's policy of America first. Trump's nominee for Secretary of State described China as America's biggest threat.
Communist Party of China is leads PRC, is the most potent and dangerous near-peer adversary this nation has ever confronted. If we stay on the road we're on right now, in less than 10 years, virtually everything that matters to us in life will depend on whether China will allow us to have it or not.
He pledged to boost defenses of Taiwan, the self-governing democratic island that Beijing claims as its own, to avoid what he called a cataclysmic military intervention. Rubio also criticized President Biden's recent decision to remove Cuba from a list of terrorism sponsors and hinted that he would reverse the move. Whereas Trump has sparked anger overseas by threatening to withdraw from NATO, Rubio distanced himself from talk of pulling out of the alliance. Speaking about the war in Ukraine, which Trump pledged to end within a day of taking office, the senator insisted that both Russia and Ukraine would need to make concessions to halt the fighting.
This war has to end, and I think it should be the official policy of the United States that we want to see it end. Now, what that master plan looks like is going to be hard work. This is not going to be an easy endeavor, but it's going to require bold diplomacy, and my hope is that it could begin with some ceasefire.
That's a show enough money shot. Woo, Jesus.
Yeah, China, the money shot. It's good. But none of that excited people as much as the big announcement about the inauguration. Did you hear about the big announcement?
Well, before we get off track, we might as well play this last clip. the big announcement?
No, that, I'll wait.
Carrie Underwood's going to sing?
No.
Or that the YMCA or the, yes, the Village yes, People? Yes.
Widely considered a gay anthem from the 1970s, the pop hit YMCA has been following Donald Trump. In rally after rally, its catchy chorus saw the incoming president let loose during the campaign. Now, the Village People have confirmed they will be performing at one of Trump's inaugural balls and a gathering he's holding in Washington the day before he's sworn in.
He'll be performing at his inaugural balls.
Well, they had to go grab, you know, these guys are retired, so they had to put the group back together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think one of them's dead. I think
they just put him up there.
I think the cowboys did. One of them passed away, I think. Yes.
Anyway, let's get back to this. This is the last clip of the Rubio series. I do want to mention something that's not in here, but when they talked about a number of hostages released,
33.
The number that finally
33.
Yep. 33.
We know it's code. That means it's over, boys.
It means something.
End of op. 33.
End of op. End of op. Could be 33. Could be like yes, because End of op.
Yeah. End of op. All right. What's your final Rubio clip?
That's the same confirmation. Rubio 3.
Oh, got it.
Now, when it comes to Europe, Rubio said in terms of Russia and Ukraine, quote, there will have to be concessions made, adding this conflict needs to end. What changes might we see in terms of the Russia-Ukraine war under this new administration?
It's going to be very hard to say. Donald Trump, as I've said many times, is very, very transactional. Where we are right now, basically when Donald Trump takes office on January 20th, everything that happened beforehand is a sunk cost. There's nothing that he can do about it to change. Considering the amount of territory that Ukraine has lost to Russia, I don't know how Ukraine is going to be able to take it all back. It's going to be an exceptional challenge. Now, at the same time, Russia is also at its limit in terms of its wartime economy. I don't know how much longer they can continue on with the war. Ukraine is also suffering an incredible strain as well. I think in the end, whether or not we like it, Russia may end up with a part of Ukraine. They may get a lot of what they want, but hopefully Trump and the Western powers can perhaps exert more threats or perhaps show, say, hey, if you don't take, say, perhaps half a loaf, if you will, use that kind of an example, say, you know, they only get to some of the territory that they managed to capture instead of all of it. That the allies, the Western powers, are going to come in even stronger to support Ukraine. And frankly, there's a lot of things that went wrong all the way up to this. This war should never have happened in the first place. We were too slow to give them military aid. Congress was very slow to act on times, engaging in politics, a six-month delay in terms of getting Ukraine the artillery it needs. We didn't ramp up in terms of manufacturing the artillery it needs. So a lot of that also lies on us in terms of where the situation is. So we are, I think, just as much to blame for preventing this war as Russia is from starting it.
Yeah. Blah. Who is that guy?
Blah, blah, blah.
So before
you jump ahead, he did mention Trump doing stuff right away. Have you heard the tiny desk story?
I don't know.
Here, play the clip. You'll get a kick out of it. Trump and the tiny desk.
Oh, okay. Oh, hold on a second. Tiny desk story. Here we go.
On the campaign trail, Trump joked he'd have a tiny desk next to the inauguration podium so he could start signing executive orders immediately after his speech. While there hasn't been an official announcement about that, the soon-to-be president is expected to sign numerous executive orders in the first few hours and days of his next administration.
It may be the biggest day of executive order signing in American history.
I've heard it's going to be 100.
Yeah, 100. That's what the number is. 100. But the tiny desk. Put a tiny desk. I doubt it.
Sit down right away and start signing. I heard he was going to start signing from the steps on the way in the limo back to the White House. They was going to start signing him in the car with this tiny desk. That's good. We do have breaking news at this hour, John. Breaking news at this hour. Breaking!
Well, good morning. Earlier today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Hamas objected to Israel's ability to stop the release of certain prisoners.
However, the deal isn't a sure thing, with Israel this morning saying it wouldn't ratify the deal until Hamas stops a back
backtracking on already agreed upon details. But this is the closest the two sides have come in months, and there is hope it will come to fruition. Hamas is still holding nearly 100 people hostage, including some Americans.
The news is welcome across America as we are finally getting Americans returned, just as there's excitement in Israel to get some of their hostages home.
Of course, everyone was all giddy about the question that was asked of President Biden, if he's taking credit for something Trump did.
Yeah, I thought, classic.
Yeah, I thought CBC did a pretty good job.
Thank you. Brooks, credit for this, Mr. President, you or Trump?
The ink on the deal was still drying, and outgoing President Joe Biden was facing questions about who should get the credit.
Is that a joke?
That's not a joke.
No joke. After all, incoming President Donald Trump posted on social media moments after the news broke, claiming credit and not even mentioning his predecessor. This epic ceasefire agreement could have only happened as a result of our historic victory in November, he wrote. Qatar's Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani was asked about the U.S. role in shaping the final agreement.
I can say that what we have seen from the U.S. in the past few days, seeing a collaboration transcending both administration, was a clear demonstration for the commitment of the U.S. to reach to that deal.
Biden says getting the deal done was one thing. Seeing it through will require yet more work.
This deal was developed and negotiated under my administration, but its terms will be implemented for the most part by the next administration. In these past few days, we've been speaking as one team.
The deal's three phases will each offer tricky obstacles and stumbling blocks. And United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the ceasefire deal is only the first step.
The humanitarian situation is at catastrophic levels.
It's burning.
And I call on all parties to facilitate the rapid and hindered and safe humanitarian relief for all civilians in need.
So that's our reporting. Civilians. That's reporting from our 51st state, Canada. The French were a little more gracious.
Scenes of jubilation and relief in Gaza as news spreads of a ceasefire agreement following months of fruitless talks. One key upcoming change has forced negotiations to pick up pace in recent weeks, the return of Donald Trump. The U.S. president had been regularly demanding the release of all hostages in Gaza and sent his new envoy Steve Witkoff to the region to put pressure on the truce talks mediators.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Experts say their efforts have paid off.
The deal will go into implementation the day before President Trump's inauguration. So undoubtedly, there is this Trump effect. You know, many people I talk to in Israel would say that the most popular politician in Israel is Donald Trump. And that gives him quite a bit of leverage over the Israeli prime minister.
The Israeli prime minister was also pressed to come to the negotiating table as the political situation within his government deteriorates. Two of Netanyahu's key coalition partners have opposed the truce, far-right finance minister Bezalel Smotrich and national security minister Itamar Ben-Gvir threatened to pull their parties out of the coalition unless fighting in Gaza resumed after the hostages return. Though Netanyahu's government has a majority to approve the ceasefire deal, the prime minister seeks to keep his government afloat. Israeli media report he has offered potential gains for the far right in exchange for them remaining in his coalition, including a settlement construction in the West Bank and boosted security.
Very odd. I thought everyone knows the Jews control Trump. It's so odd. It's so odd.
I have two clips on the same thing. Only mine are from once from
NTD.
Well, there's the NTD is the best one, but let's start with the ceasefire, the NPR, because you play some elaborate clips from foreign sources. What does NPR do?
Let me guess. Somebody with a British accent?
No, not necessarily.
After more than 15 months of war, the United States says Israel and Hamas have reached a ceasefire deal. NPR's Aya Betraoui reports the agreement is set to begin on Sunday, giving the Israeli government time to approve the deal. This is a complex and fragile deal carried out in stages, starting with a six-week pause in hostilities and Israeli airstrikes on Gaza, which health officials there say have killed tens of thousands of people, including more than 14,000 children in the war. 33 hostages, or around a third of those held by Hamas in Gaza, will be released in exchange for many Palestinians held by Israel in this first phase. Qatar's Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed Al Thani told reporters the deal aims to end the war.
I believe that it all depends on the parties of the agreement and acting in good faith.
He says the agreement also allows for displaced Palestinians to return to Gaza City and other areas in the north, though most of Gaza has been turned to rubble.
Who was that?
Rubble. Who you was get that? The return to rubble. So that was, you know, that's about as vanilla as you can get.
Pretty much.
Told us nothing interesting whatsoever. But there we have the NTD for our NTD folks, the new Tang dynasty, have this report.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas has been announced. President-elect Trump first broke the news in a post on Truth Social, saying the ceasefire agreement had been reached and that the hostages would be released shortly. NTD's Jason Perry has the details.
Residents in the Gaza Strip were seen celebrating on Wednesday, many of them anticipating that a ceasefire would happen soon. And it did, according to what President-elect Trump posted on Truth Social. Trump said that a deal in the Middle East had been reached and that the hostages would be released shortly. Trump's announcement of the ceasefire came just a week after he said, quote, all hell will break out in the Middle East if the hostages aren't released by the time he takes office. Qatar, which has been mediating the talks, also announced the news on Wednesday. Qatar's prime minister, who is also the country's foreign minister, said the ceasefire is set to begin on Sunday, January 19th, one day before Trump takes office. He gave further details at the briefing, which were heard through an interpreter.
The phase one of the agreement will go on for 42 days, and it will include a ceasefire and the withdrawal of Israeli forces to the east away from populated areas. Israeli forces will then be positioned along the Gaza border, and which will allow for the swap of prisoners as well as the swap of remains and the return of the displaced people to their residences.
He said that 33 hostages would be released. But he did not say how many Palestinian prisoners would be released. President Biden, however, said hundreds of Palestinian prisoners were going to be released, and he added this.
The elements of this deal were what I laid out in detail this past May, which was embraced by countries around the world and endorsed overwhelmingly by the UN Security Council.
All right. I think I've had it now. Let's move on to something more exciting. Something more exciting, which is also taking place on Monday, because we know. Why? Because we know nobody cares about 33 hostages. We care about TikTok. That's what we all care about, TikTok. And I have a clip, and I think you have a couple, too.
New this morning, President-elect Donald Trump may be planning to keep TikTok alive in the U.S.
Keep it alive!
Trump's pick for National Security Advisor, Florida Representative Mike Walz, says Trump is exploring options to preserve the popular app, which is set to shut down in the U.S. come Monday. Walz added that Trump sees TikTok's economic value and could implement an executive order to suspend enforcement of a federal law that would ban the app. The Supreme Court appears poised to uphold the law, which requires TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to divest on national security grounds or the app to be banned. But this news overnight adds to all the speculation. Xu Chu, the CEO of TikTok, plans to be at Trump's inauguration at the invitation of the Trump Vance Inaugural Committee, and is expected to sit in a position of honor on the dais along with a number of other tech billionaires.
What is so interesting is friends of mine, good friends who should know the truth. They all believe, they really believe that TikTok is spying on them more than any other app. I'm flummoxed by this. And another thing I'd like to point out, everyone like, oh, the TikTok algo, the algorithm. Oh, the algorithm.
The algo is what makes you think they're spying on you.
Oh, that's a good point. Whereas the algo, it is the simplest algo in the world. We've already been through this.
There must be something more to it. And I think I think that it's not the algo as much as it is the ability to categorize the videos in such a way that the algo can do what it does.
Yes.
I think that's the level of difficulty that's not being discussed.
Well, I don't think it's difficult at
all. Because they don't use a lot of hashtags in TikTok. It's just you have somebody going on ranting about something or other that, oh, yeah, Kamala's going to be president. And then you start watching that and they get another one and another one and another one. How do they manage to categorize these videos to make them show up one after the other? That is the key to their success that is not being discussed.
There's a lot of Chinese and they're sitting there all day long tagging videos. Yeah,
or Indians. I mean,
well, we could shift it to anonymous Indians. No,
this is the same as this one. Let's put them in the same pot.
But it truly is the success. I'll just reiterate. American algorithms, particularly in our social media realms, they always want to inject strife. Like, let's throw something, get people commenting and get them mad at each other. The TikTok algo is like, you like food? Here's food. You like Republicans? Here's Republicans. They don't throw anything adverse in there. They get so that you actually think. Remember, we were getting emails from people. Yeah. No, the reason they want TikTok gone is because that's where all the MAGA people are. No, all the MAGA people got all the MAGA people in the algo. All the DeLulus got all the DeLulus in the from the algo. And you're probably right that it's the way they categorize or tag the content. And I wouldn't put it past them that there's a lot of people whose only job it is to tag
that has
videos.
To be it.
Yeah.
There can't, there's no machine way of doing this. And it's not a hashtag oriented system. So you can't just look at the hashtag. Oh, here's another one.
Now there,
you might be right. It could be thousands of people that are, oh God, what a job that would be. Oh my God, you have to watch one after another and then figure out where it fits into the scheme of things.
It's a lot more fun than trying to police people. You know, just what is this about? Oh, boom, click, Republican. What is this about? Oh, food, boom. What is this about? Watermelons, boom, watermelons. It's easy as long as you have enough people. Now, I have two boots on the ground reports. The first one will lead into your clips. This is from Gen Z.
Well, before you get to that, I do want to mention one thing, which is I do get PR notifications from a company called betonline.ag, and they have the odds about some of these things I want to mention. Will SCOTUS ban TikTok? Will it be upheld?
Yes.
69%? Yes.
Yes.
Will Elon Musk buy TikTok?
No.
82% no.
Right.
Will Trump overturn TikTok ban in the first 100 days of the presidency?
Yes.
58% no.
Oh, interesting. No.
So the betting folk, although the Trump one is the weakest, the betting folks say no to that. So
Gen Z TikTok producer writes in, says, boots on the ground regarding the TikTok ban. If you recall, I gave you and John insight last year on how TikTok ads and the ad leaderboard systems have some obscure incentives for massive pay pools to creators. By the way, I've determined that they are not creators, they are creations. People who chase algos on YouTube and TikTok are creations of YouTube and TikTok. They're not creators. They just, we could talk about it later, but Mr. Beast really laid out what he does with his videos. He doesn't, as long as there's more, if there's 3 seconds more watching time, average viewing time, it's a great video. These are creations of these platforms. Anyway, he manages several thousand influencers, our producer does, on TikTok, and everyone is on the edge of their seat because, well, lots of money is on the table. And here we go. Recently noticing with our influencers, so this is one of our Gen Zers who's in. He's in deep inside. The mad dash for the next big thing, if the band holds. New apps and narratives definitely underway to try to absorb the power vacuum if TikTok is shut down. I say if, because the amount of money that flows through ad revenue here will likely keep it going. If not, this model will be immediately duplicated in a new app. And of course, the new one is Red Note, which is at the top of the app stores. He says this is obvious that these the rankings, the ratings have been gamed. Bots are all over it. They've been pushing Red Note up to the top. Everybody who's on TikTok has an account now on Red Note, just in case that's the next big thing. And this should lead into your Red Note clips.
Yeah, I have the backgrounders on Red Note. Here's clip one.
TikTok users are flooding Chinese social media app Red Note just days before a potential ban could remove.
She even said it the way I did. Red Note. This is interesting. You could just say Red Note. No, Red Note.
TikTok users are flooding Chinese social media app Red Note just days before a potential ban could remove TikTok from U.S. users' lives. Some of them have come up with a creative way to describe the trend, calling themselves TikTok refugees.
Red Note saw its U.S. downloads skyrocket nearly 200% more than last week. This according to database Sensor Tower. The Chinese app also topped the ranks of free downloads on both Apple and Google's app stores in the U.S. Another app called Lemon 8 trails behind Red Note in second place. The app works almost the same as Red Note, but is predominantly English versus Red Note's default Chinese. Lemonade also shares the same Chinese parent company, ByteDance. That's the same company as TikTok. Built with features similar to both Instagram and Pinterest, users can post photos and short videos on Red Note. It can also have chat functions and its own online shopping site. As the app's non-Chinese base grows, Chinese users are telling American newcomers about what could be considered wrong under the Chinese Communist Party's censorship rules. For example, stay away from sensitive topics the regime considers sensitive, like Taiwan, the Uyghur ethnic group, and the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre.
I don't see any of that on TikTok. Hello, obvious. I have a note about the store, but I'll play your second Red Note backgrounder first.
Red Note has already faced criticism from users for strict censorship rules. The platform reportedly banned over 1.25 million accounts a few weeks ago. Right now, its ties with the Chinese Communist Party are facing scrutiny as more Americans flock to the app. Red Note is owned by a Shanghai-based company, and all of its data is stored in mainland China. The app is reportedly backed by Chinese tech giant Tencent. The Pentagon recently blacklisted Tencent for its alleged ties to the Chinese military. And get this, what's more is that the app's Chinese name, Xiaohongshu, means the little...
Little what?
Oh, I got a little red book, as in the Mao little red book.
All right, so boots on the ground from Danny about the store. This is the real problem. This, I believe, is the real problem. Besides the massive ad incentives, can you know, all these other companies, YouTube and Meta, they either bought the ad systems. It's deeply entrenched. They got a lot of technical debt. They don't have this leaderboard system, which is a phenomenal idea. But the store. So Danny says, I'm sure you know TikTok has enabled shopping. I think you sort of acknowledged on episode 729. It's probably the only legitimate competition Amazon may have. I'm very surprised, he says. I'm shocked that John hasn't discovered the incredible deals on TikTok shop. From $12 Baofeng radios, which is at least $3 under the price, to high-quality, unlabeled clothing, textiles, and home goods, usually straight from China. Also, many homegrown businesses are making millions of dollars by opening their businesses on TikTok shop. I'm a bit disappointed, Danny says. Everyone seems to find the negativity in oddball TikTokers, but not the positive. Well, fine. I joined TikTok shop last year. It works by basically promoting all types of goods that are sent as free samples in exchange for making videos or going live showcasing the product. Recently, I've had a video featuring the Baofeng UV5R radio that has made me close to, how much do you think, in 2 weeks in commission?
$20,000?
No, $10,000.
Well,
I've been able to stop ruining my vehicle doing Amazon deliveries and Uber Eats deliveries. TikTok has enabled me to have more than $700 in my bank account at any given time. The same goes for so many other people on the platform. I do not have millions of followers. Of course not. It's the algo. The algo boosts you into people who are looking for this stuff. I started with less than 1,000, currently at 8,000. TikTok, so 8,000 followers and $10,000, so $5,000 a week. TikTok is by far the best social media platform on the internet. And I think that this is the real problem. I remain solid that this was a anti-competition, anti-competitive move by Silicon Valley, who funded some of the people who introduced the bill, mainly Google and Amazon. And they just want them out because there's too much technical debt to recreate this. And even this Lemonade, which is essentially tried to do the same thing. It's ByteDance, but they tried to do the same thing with a shop and they failed. it's hard to do these things. It's hard to replicate existing success and get that magic going. And as you know, I think it would be very
if you remember the early days of Twitter, there were two or three or four clones. Yep. Pounce was one of them.
Yep.
And there's a whole slew of them, and they couldn't, didn't have it.
Nope.
You're right. There's a certain thing, and it's in tech, it's constant, which is this, it's a magic, it's something just clicks, and it becomes the thing.
And you can't replicate it. Now, I think there'll be a big market for cheap phones, maybe even flip phones that have TikTok preloaded on it. I think we'll see this pop up if it gets banned. And I think it will. I really think it will. I think Trump will overturn it because Trump realizes, as I stated, and I'm sure someone over there listens to this show, we need more short form videos, chicks in bikinis. We need guns. We need all kinds of stuff. We are the content media creators of the universe. This is our export. And the only thing is we need to hook up American products to the shop. That's it. That's all that needs to be done. I think it would be very bad for America to ban TikTok. It'd be bad for this show. Where are you going to source your content from?
I don't get it. I only source
the talk list type of
content from TikTok, and I could do without it.
Well, the audience can't. The audience
loves these clips.
They're encouraging you constantly to do this.
Yeah, I know. Much to your chagrin.
Yes. Do you think that anybody?
You're dead on this, by the way. This whole idea, and I have to look into the shop. And the guy was right in condemning me for not being up on it.
Yeah.
Although I'm not the shopping guy on the Today Show. Didn't they have some slippers you can buy here cheap? But okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this stuff is mostly junk.
Yeah, it is. Of course it's junk. That's another thing. We like buying junk. We should be buying American junk. Seriously. Oh, you know what? You remember Justin, the guy who has the Made in America shoe company, who got wiped out by Helene? In Western North Carolina. Yeah, he had like 25 people, his whole factory wiped out. So I find out he's started a new company because he's not going to give up. He started a boot company.
Guys like that never give up.
And I think it's Gen Z too. And
it's like Jambo, the guy who makes the... that guy, he goes from one business to another. I don't know what he's up to now, but he's like one of those guys.
In America do you find people like
this. We got these guys.
Only in America.
I don't know.
So he started Pearl Boot Company. I'm like, I'm going to support this guy. Cowboy boots. And they're $450, which is cheap for handmade, Made in America cowboy boots. And they arrived yesterday, the most comfortable boots I've ever worn in my life. It has something like some arch support in there, and I have Lucchese boots. I've had nice cowboy boots for over a decade, and I'm just blown away. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff we should be selling on TikTok. Now, I bet he is. Now, I think about it.
Well, he probably isn't.
Well, he should be.
Now you think about it.
He should be. He should be. So, and this is another thing. On Instagram, the big brands, they all have their videos and they've got their influencers. The influencers are suing each other. You stole my vibe.
What is going on with these people? You copied me. You copied my style.
But Tina continues to complain about this. She doesn't complain about it on Instagram anymore by commenting because that got her kicked off. But all of these brands like, and here's this with special offer. And you click on it, you go to the special offer, not in stock. It's never in stock. It's a scam. Yeah, whenever Instagram has it's usually clothing. And these are known brands, not super.
So what's the point of this? You think it's some sort of marketing deal?
Well, it sucks no matter what. I'm not sure if it's a marketing deal, but they're always out of stock. And then they recommend something else. It feels a bit like a bait and switch. Feels a bit like it. Yeah. And the one time she commented and she got booted off for a week. she commented on the advertiser. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That was a mistake. That was a big, big wow. mistake. Don't comment.
So she got booted off of Instagram for mm-hmm. a week for saying something about
the
scambish advertising bait and switch
and she didn't,
scam?
And she didn't even say it was a scam. She just said, how come it's always out of stock? This is no good. Boom. You've been limited. You can't comment for a week. It was great. Are
they really monitoring closely?
Oh, on the advertisers, I thought, yes, you can't meddle with the primal forces of nature, Mr.
This
Beal.
Is the reason that our show doesn't take advertising. I just say it all the time. It's a form of corruption.
Big time. It really is. It really is. Huh. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
What they should have done was put the kibosh on the idea of them doing this, pulling this bait and switch scam. That's what they should be. They should be working on behalf of the users of Instagram.
Oh, please.
Telling you.
Yeah, they don't. They don't care. They just want to collect data. Yeah, now we got everyone thinking that TikTok was doing it. Now we're in the clear. Please. Everyone uses Firebase. We all know how it works. You know about Firebase?
No, tell me about Firebase.
Oh, it's an SDK you put into your app, and it's, I think Firebase may be completely controlled by Google. And every tap, every swipe, everything you do in the app is tracked. Every app has it. Firebase. Yeah. Oh, it's just so I can see if the app performs properly. No, it's to spy. Now, TikTok is smart because it's very hard to do. You can't get to the shop, for instance, outside of the app. That's why you've never seen the shop. That's why you've never been introduced to it. If you go to shop.tiktok.com, you can browse, you know, whatever they're showing you. But the minute you hit, I want to search for something, it says, you got to get the app.
Oh, so I'll never see the shop.
No, not unless you get the app. You could get it on your phone. You just have to go downstairs to get it from the drawer.
I have to get the phone out of the drawer just for this? Forget it. I'm not doing it. It's like stupid. I can buy stuff from AliExpress. It's probably the same junk.
I don't think you're the market that they're going after. It's just
well,
the
I guess not. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm getting to the age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably past the age, but I'm going to say I'm getting to the age where I'll be defined as an old coot.
And there's nothing except Prevagen. We have nothing for old coots.
A coot. I mean, who needs to be a coot? But this is where it's going.
We got boner pills. We got to get something. But there's not much else that we want to sell.
No, you get the coot. You're a coot. Your coot's a coot.
The coot's a coot. You get
it. It makes you gives you a little more leeway in your free speech.
Yeah, it does.
That's for sure.
You're probably tagged somewhere. It's just a coot. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Let him talk. Let him say whatever he needs to say. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. That would be in my algo.
I did
get a note from one of our from Nick the truck driver, and he commented on Real Short. This is the Quibi thing you were talking about.
Oh yes, the thing that was Katzenberg's deal.
Yes, and he says he has used Real Short, and he has some insight. So this is good. We have the most impressive people. First, let me say I'm a truck driver. While I get loaded or unloaded, I usually just mindlessly scroll Facebook or Instagram. I got sucked into one of these so-called movies made by Real Short on Facebook. They'll give you 3 to 5 minutes on another platform, then tell you to download their app. Well, I downloaded it, and the woman on the clip was right. You get about 10 to 15 minutes, and then they ask you for money. You get tokens to purchase movies starting at $4.99 for 100 tokens. I'm not sure how many tokens were needed to get the whole movie. Or you can watch an ad 5 times a day and get one more 1 to 2 minute segment per ad watched. For reference, the video I was watching had about 70 segments. The acting is truly awful. The plot is horrible, and yet I still wanted to finish it. I deleted the app after I saw its pay model.
He's one of those. Yeah, this is the general public at large. This is the old, when you learn about direct marketing, my all-time favorite thing, and I've brought it up on the show before,
pay attention, people. This is good information you're getting here.
So you have, you know, you're going to sell miniature cars, and it's going to be, the cars are going to cost you about $5 to buy one, but, you know, the first one's $1 or $2, something like that. And so just to introduce you to the idea of collecting these cars, there's 40 of them. And so you buy the $2 car, and they send you the little car, and a display case with the 40 car holes. And so you always get the free display, or we're giving you a complimentary display case with these 40 holes that are empty, because you get to put your one car in there. And
look at the empty slots.
The general public will want to fill up every slot.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you collect quarters and you get one of these coin collecting things that's got all those slots you put the quarters in. If you have one of these, used to do this. She'd get one of the containers that hold the quarters, and there'd be two missing quarters, so she'd go out of her way to find the P quarter from 19 whatever it is, and to get those to get the damn thing filled. We have this tendency as humans to want to fill the gap.
That's right.
And so you got to fill it in. So that's what that is. That this somebody figured out you can do this with short clips.
That is a very good psychological insight.
There is no reason to want to watch the rest of the damn movie, except for that factor. He said himself it's junk.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy that people want to do that.
I know. Oh, no, it's empty. I got to put it in there.
I should probably mention, since we're talking about apps and scams, I got a note from one of our producers, Sam, who said, I think you should bring this particular internet scam to attention because it's easy for people to fall into this. And this is a couple of years ago, but when he was 25, he was on the dating app Hinge, which I've heard of. Have you heard of Hinge?
No, never heard of Hinge.
So it's like a Tinder, but it's different. So he was matched with a girl who was 23, talked on the app for about 2 days, every hour or so. The responses were good. Then they exchanged text numbers. And then after texting a bit, she asked for a picture. And so he sends a picture. And then she sends back a selfie and some not safe for work pics. So, of course, 25-year-old guy, he's excited. So after about 5 hours, he gets a text from an unknown number. Someone says, listen, I'm this girl's father, and my daughter got into a fight with me and my wife, and so we took her phone away. Then we saw that she's been texting you, and you've been texting her. She's 16. All right, so here's the setup. She threatened to kill herself. I'm sitting at the hospital now with my daughter, and I'm going to press charges against you, sick pedophile bastard. So, of course, kid then, he's freaking out. It's like, no, but wait, she said she was 23. And,
wow, this is a good one.
So then the father, so-called father, sends something like, son, if you know it's good for you, you're going to make this right. Otherwise, it will ruin your life for being a pedophile. And then, of course, he's like, you need to pay. You need to pay for the pain you've caused my daughter. And if not, I'm going to hand you over to the police. So he does nothing, gets a phone call from the local police officer, which we know these are all different scams rolled into one. And the police officer then says, I really advise you should pay the father. You don't want to be labeled a sex offender. I mean, this is... Of course, it was a scam. He just didn't do anything, and it went away because he confirmed the badge number, and it wasn't a valid badge number.
Well, he did some work.
But this is very sophisticated. This is a very sophisticated scam.
Well, it reminds me, it's a more advanced version of the "Hey, Granddad" call, which I've gotten twice. Mm-hmm. Both times from, okay. Hey, Granddad. What? Who? Who are you? Yeah, it's your grandson. I got arrested.
Yeah.
The way the normal scam, I don't have kids old enough to get arrested. Grandkids old enough to get arrested, so it doesn't work.
That's what you think.
Well, I could, but it's possible, but I wouldn't care anyway. So, It's just like, and I guess people have fallen for this.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that's the simplest of all those things, besides all the calls you normally get. Doesn't law enforcement crack down on this? It is doable.
Well, the problem is...
we've played clips. The trillions of dollars are being scammed by worldwide by these people, and nothing's being done about it.
And by the way, a few shows back, I didn't read it, but we got boots on the ground report from someone who's in law enforcement, and women, particularly older women, fall for this all the time. Someone friends them on Facebook. He's such a nice man. And they build up a relationship over weeks. And then the question comes, oh, can you just spot me $1,000? And before you know it, they've sent $100,000 of their retirement money. The family is begging and pleading and like, no, this is real. This is true love. We have a real relationship. This is legit. And you can't convince them otherwise.
Yeah. Well, there was a report on one of the Fox shows about how some woman lost $850,000 to a Brad Pitt.
Why are we still doing podcasts? What losers we are. We could do voices.
Hey, how you doing?
You could sit on TikTok all day, reeling them in. Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, no.
But so someone claiming to be Brad Pitt, and the question the panel was asking, who thinks Brad Pitt needs money? I mean, the whole thing was stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how it goes. You do 100 a day, you hit one, you track it, you got a database. It's the internet was a bad idea.
No, that's what I always say. That's been my claim since day one. But it's not just the internet. Most of these things, most of the scams are telephone scams. There's no internet involved.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, this
has to be stopped.
Do you have any Delulu clips for today?
No Delulu clips for today.
Oh, you have some? No, but I got a note from one of our producers who starts by saying, I hadn't been hit in the mouth before the last election, but I'm sure you've covered all of the Trump will still be president YouTubers and TikTokers. So she is, I think she may be young, Z. I was getting all the updates from a friend who was totally invested, from the theories around ballets to those she thought were, from the theories around ballots to those she thought were true prophets. She told me later that she had made detailed plans for her suicide if these things didn't come to pass and was only stopped by feeling God's clear intervention. In November, a family member had a close liberal friend attempt suicide the day after Trump's election. People on the left are truly terrified about the next term. And if I heard and believe what they do, I probably would be too. These Team Delulu theorists and prophets sadly may really hurt the people that believe in them.
I agree.
It's along the same lines. If people will believe that Brad Pitt needs some cash... and they believe that, to be fair about it, a lot of people bought into the quantum dots, just be fair, and Q. Oh, man, bring back Q. That was so funny. Please don't.
He's still around.
I know. Please don't send me an email. He's still here. He's got proofs. Follow the breadcrumbs. I've become cynical in my old age. The show is being ruined because I'm becoming like you. It's just ruining the show.
It's
ruining the show.
No, it's giving. Now we have. I think it's fine. I think we can hang in there.
Okay. For four more years. We can do it.
Let's talk a little bit about the fires.
Oh, you mean Newsom's Inferno?
Oh, is that another one?
You like it? Do you like it?
Yeah, I like Newsom's Inferno.
I think Newsom's Inferno is good. Can I start?
Where'd that come from?
I will tell you because I did not make it up myself. I want to be clear. This is one of our producers. Hold on. It was Michael Falwell. Michael came up with it. But we will appropriate it, and from now on, it is a no-agenda term.
I like it.
Yes.
I think it's a show title.
I think it's a possible show title. I'd like to start us off with Jimmy Kimmel. just to get
that poor guy. What a pathetic soul he's turned out to be.
As you know, it has been a very scary, very stressful, very strange week here in LA, where we work, where we live.
He's already where crying.
Our kids go to school. We are back at our studio, which we had to evacuate on Wednesday. This is that's our building right there, the El Capitan. That is how close this fire was to our theater here. Many of us had to leave our homes in a hurry. Some of our coworkers lost their homes. That's Hollywood.
Yes.
It's been terrible. It's been a terrible. Everyone who lives in the city knows someone, most of us, multiple people, families, friends, colleagues, neighbors whose houses burned down. And the truth is, we don't even know if it's over. We had 100 mile per hour winds fueling this nightmare. As of tonight, the winds are back. And I think I speak for all of us when I say it has been a sickening, shocking, awful experience, but has also been, in a lot of ways, a beautiful experience because once again, we see our fellow men and women coming together to support each other. People who lost their own homes were out volunteering in parking lots, helping others who lost theirs. And tonight,
yes. Yes, we're here to talk show, not helping. Yes, yes.
Get into all the vile and irresponsible and stupid things our alleged future president and his gaggle of scumbags chose to say during our darkest and most terrifying hour. The fact that
what's Trump got to do with the fires?
Because Kimmel's job here is to be a political weapon, whatever he's trying to do. Does anyone still watch that show? Let's take a look.
Well, somebody did to get that clip, but I don't. Well, I find it's hard to watch.
Well, 11 more seconds.
I mean, he had a nice formula going for a while, but it's become the Trump derangement situation with him has gone out of control. And now to throw Trump into these, you know, to anyone who brings Trump into the conversation regarding these fires has got a screw loose. Trump had nothing to do with these fires, one way or the other, and his comments about the fires are minor, and they're, who cares what he has to say? He doesn't say anything about them. It's not his business. He's not president.
No. Well, we'll finish this up.
Future president and his gaggle of scumbags chose to say during our darkest and most terrifying hour, the fact that they chose to attack our firefighters, who apparently aren't white enough to be out there risking their lives on our behalf, it's disgusting, but it's not surprising. Instead, I want to focus on thanking those men and women.
Oh, yes. He should have just gone off the air.
Well, he's a guy who's been caught in blackface more than once. He was actually suspended for a while because of it. Mm-hmm. And he was should have been canceled, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so now he's back and he can't even hold it together.
No.
Can't even produce a show. I mean, it's not all, everything that takes place in the world is not about LA and its fires.
No. I have a mini supercut.
Of the fires?
Yes, of course I do. Yeah, here it is.
It essentially looks like a bomb went off out here.
It looks like a bomb went off here as well.
It looks like a bomb went off.
Looks like it was carpet bombed.
Every single home is obliterated. Looks like a bomb went off.
Cars obliterated like bombs went off.
It looks like a bomb went off. It looks apocalyptic.
It looks like Hiroshima. A bomb went off. Everything is gone.
It looks like Hiroshima.
It looks like literally a nuclear bomb went off and leveled our entire city.
Looks like a disaster zone, like a bomb went off.
Looking like a bomb went off.
It looks like a bomb went off. It's really unbelievable.
It looks like a bomb went off. The truth wants to come out everywhere on this thing. It's kind of frightening. This is the Los Angeles County Public Works Director.
My first piece of advice to you is let's take care of our mental and physical health first before we embark upon what is going to be a journey to rebuild these communities back and rebuild them better than they were when we started this fire.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
What?
Yeah, good. That's what? A great catch.
Oh, no. That's horrible. I can't believe he said that. There was another one. It's
truth. Yeah. It's a little...
Yeah. Let me see. There was another one here, I thought. Oh, yes. This is another funny one.
And by the way, with respect to the charges I'm going to announce, please know this.
This is the Los Angeles District Attorney.
The charges themselves are not evidence. Everyone that I'm going to describe today is presumed guilty until and unless they are proven guilt, their guilt is proven by the government beyond a reasonable doubt.
So they're all guilty. They're guilty, the arsonists. They're all guilty. And
they let the one arsonist, they already let him go.
Yeah, but there's plenty of videos of people setting fires, and this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a rotten society.
Yeah, they're torching it when they can.
And I was kind of amazed by this. This is a TikToker, in Los Angeles. I guess her house did not burn down, and she had this to say.
Take a minute to talk about looting, because I think it's worth considering why people would run into an active fire to steal stuff rather than fleeing the fire. And it seems like in the media coverage that I'm listening to that people think that people are just like greedy who want to be looting. And I'm just wondering if maybe these people have actually considered whether it is safer for them to run into a fire or to continue to exist within capitalism without access to resources. And after weighing the pros and cons, they concluded that the safer option is to run into the fire to steal stuff. Because you never see like Elon or Jeff or Mark running into a fire to steal stuff, because they don't have to run into a fire to steal stuff. They can just steal from their workers via wage theft, and that's legal within capitalism. So if we want people to stop looting, I'm wondering if maybe the solution isn't to have more police, but rather to have a system where people don't feel like it's a better option to run into a fire.
This is so short-sighted. First of all, these
Not only that, but nobody's running into the fire.
No.
Because the fires are over, as the houses that are left are the ones being looted, so she's full of shit from the get-go.
But the looting is, that's socialism in reverse. Either you give your stuff up front, or they steal it from you later. You're going to lose your stuff, lady, with what you want. It's just these... And we have producers who live out there who have been affected by this. So, you know, it really is no laughing matter. But looking at the possible, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. A lot of people commented on this clip of Newsom. And the minute he talks about speculators buying up properties, he's shaking his shoulders. He's wiggling his shoulders.
Yes, this is the strangest. Yes. This clip is better if we were a video.
Yeah,
showing it would be. I think people can find it. Yeah, he's wiggling around like some sort of like he's got the ants crawling up him or something.
Well, if you listen now, so that was the distraction. If you listen to what he's actually saying, it sounds to me like he wants to help these speculators. Listen now, this is good that there's no video.
We're dealing with a myriad of issues. I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor.
Laugh tell? Why is the laugh tell? Why the laugh tell, Newsom? Why are you laughing?
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward.
To move those things forward?
Wow, you're right. This is interesting. It's possible that the wiggling around was distracting from what he's saying.
Completely. He's saying,
we're going to try to move it along, get some speculation going here. I'd buy a lot or two myself.
Yes, we're in the market. Let's listen to it in context one more time.
We're dealing with a myriad of issues. I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward. And we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
We'll be presenting those to who? To the speculators? This is
exactly what he said.
So I need to go back to the Meet the Press stylized interview where he talked about the rebuilding.
You're here with us on Meet the Press to announce a new executive order. What is this executive order? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Look, we've got to be thinking 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years ahead. At the same time, we're focusing on the immediacy, which is life, safety, and property. And so we want to fast track
by eliminating any CEQA requirements. I got Coastal Act changes that we're making. I want to make sure when someone rebuilds that they have their old property tax assessments and that they're not increased. All of that's been done in the executive order we just announced.
Wait a minute. I'll just stop there for a second. Perfect for speculators. Hey, if you come in, buy this up, you get the old tax rate. We're good. We're open for business.
CEQA, Governor, and the Coastal Act are both environmental regulations. And if you're going to be suspending those temporarily, are you concerned about problems that may result from the suspension of those environmental regulations and the potential abuse by developers?
Yeah, we're not going to. And within this executive order, we frame those abuses. We basically bookmark that in the context of maintaining the existing footprints. The Coastal Act, they allow just a 10% variant. So we're going to be very mindful of that. Look, California leads the nation in environmental stewardship. I'm not going to give that up. But one thing I won't give into is delay. We've got to let people know we have their back. We're going to be back. We're going to do it efficiently and effectively. Don't turn your back. Don't walk away because we want you to come back, rebuild, and rebuild with higher quality building standards, more modern standards. We want to make sure that the associated costs with that are not disproportionate, especially in a middle class community like this.
Build, he says, better back, build what?
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better.
And that falls right into LA 2.0.
Over the course of the next several years, Los Angeles will be host to the World Cup and then the Super Bowl and then the Olympics. Yeah. With this rebuilding effort needing to take place, is LA going to be ready for all of those global events?
My humble position, and it's not just being naively optimistic, that only reinforces the imperative moving quickly. Doing in the spirit of collaboration and cooperation.
Move quick.
President of the United States, Donald Trump, to his credit, was helpful in getting the Olympics.
The Olympics.
To the United States of America to get it down here in LA. We thank him for that. This is an opportunity for him to shine, for this country to shine,
yeah.
For California and this community to shine. The opportunity
shine.
With all of that. And all that opportunity and that pride and spirit that comes from not just hosting those three iconic games and venues, but also the opportunity, I think, to rebuild at the same time. And that's why we're already organizing a Marshall Plan. Already have a team of looking and reimagining LA 2.0.
Yeah.
And we're making sure everyone's included, not just the folks on the coast, people here that were ravaged by this disaster.
So, everybody gets to participate in LA 2.0, and it will be a dystopia. It's going to be great. Here is LA Smart City Strategy, which was already on the books for 2028. Let's accelerate.
Hi. Name is Ted Ross.
Hi, Ted.
Chief Information Officer at the City of Los Angeles. As you know, we live in a world full of urban challenges, from traffic congestion that takes our time and pollutes our environment, to natural disasters that threaten the safety of our communities. To address these challenges, Los Angeles looks to smart city technology that can positively transform our urban environment. While not a silver bullet, technology provides solutions that were previously unavailable to the generations who lived before us. It is technology that enables transparency in our policing and gives a powerful voice to our diverse communities. It's technology that innovates alternative energy sources to reduce pollution and limit our carbon footprint. And it is technology that provides ultra-high speed internet connectivity for LA residents and businesses to do amazing things. Technology enables the city of LA to efficiently and ethically improve the quality of life for our residents, businesses, and visitors. In other words, when done right, technology makes us smarter. That's why the city of Los Angeles strives to be a smart city. And there's never been a more important time for Los Angeles to be smart than now.
Yeah.
As we prepare to host the world in the 2028 Summer Olympics and Paralympics.
So, would you like to hear the 5-point plan?
Well, I might as well.
I think you should.
In LA, we believe smart cities are much more than software you purchase or sensors that you install in the cityscape.
Oh, it's much more. In fact, it's exactly that.
A smart city is an integrated, intelligent urban ecosystem.
Oh, John, can you see the PowerPoint? an integrated, intelligent ecosystem, dystopia,
comprised of multiple ingredients that must work together for the benefit of the public.
You see that on the screen, like your washing machine is connected to your car, it's connected to your house. It's beautiful.
This would include, first, smart city infrastructure.
Yeah.
This is the physical technology used to deliver smart city technologies, such as Department of Transportation's ATSAC traffic management system.
Sensors.
Which uses 4,500 connected traffic intersections to reduce travel time by more than 13%.
Ooh.
Or the Public Works street lighting's 165,000 LED street lamps that saves $3 million a year in electricity.
Yeah, and spy on you.
Second are smart city data tools.
Data tools.
This is the ability to share information across the smart city when you need it, where you need it.
Yeah, to track people.
Such as sanitation's Clean Streets program that proactively improves street cleanliness across 6,500 miles of LA streets.
Wow.
Or our Data Science Federation, which every semester matches university data scientists in training with LA urban challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Third is smart city digital services, which are the apps and websites used to digitally deliver city services to the public.
Hey, give me some service, city. I have the app.
Including the award-winning MyLA 311 mobile app. Providing access to 1,500 city services through your smartphone.
Can you remove this homeless person from my stoop?
Or the Shake Alert LA app that provides up to 45 seconds of advance warning of a coming earthquake.
You're going to die. You have 45 seconds.
You have 45 seconds.
This is great.
Fourth, our smart city connectivity and digital inclusion.
Smart city digital inclusion.
This is the work that we do to ensure that all LA communities and businesses have access to the internet. It includes the distribution of over 5,000 computers by the city of LA to families in need through our OurCycle LA program.
Here, have an old Dell.
And finally is smart city governance. This is how we coordinate investments in smart city efforts.
To steal the money.
Across all of our 42 city departments. In fact, the city of Los Angeles is a founding member of the I3 consortium, along with the University of Southern California and 90 other partners, which has built an open source Internet of Things data aggregator as a smart city data marketplace.
Well,
there was the buzz phrase of the decade.
Marketplace. Whatever they're talking about.
Internet of Things. Go back it up and play that if you can.
Yeah, of course.
Internet of Things, blah, 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 blah.
Hold on. Internet of Things. Here we go.
Is a founding member of the I3 consortium, along with the University of Southern California and 90 other partners, which has built an open source Internet of Things data aggregator as a smart city data marketplace.
An open source Internet of Things data aggregator to blah, blah, blah.
What bull crap.
Suck up the money. And KTLA, they know it's all about the money.
All right, David Lazarus joining us now to answer a couple of questions. Damage, obviously, the LA wildfires in the billions. I think they're 275.
That's the highest.
That's maybe for the Palisades alone. I don't know.
No, that's all the fires, yeah.
Okay, so that. Those are expenses initial, but there's going to be a lot more expenses long term.
Yeah, I mean, once we get the fires out and people safe, this turns into a money story. And that story is going to last for decades. As we've been talking about, the damage estimates now top $250 billion. And let's face it, insurers are just simply not equipped to handle anywhere close to that level of claims. Beyond that, there's the cost to utilities for restoring infrastructure. There's the cost to municipalities for rebuilding schools and other public resources, and the cost of meeting the ongoing needs of thousands and thousands of displaced residents. And then there's public health. Experts are already warning of increases in asthma, cancer, and premature births resulting from exposure to wildfire smoke and toxins. And as if all that wasn't enough, rents are projected to continue rising as demand significantly outpaces available supply for rental properties. All of this adds up to difficulties on the economic front. Clearly, federal assistance is going to be needed, but some politicians are already saying California is going to have to make political concessions if they want federal aid, and that just complicates things.
Boots on the ground from JL, Mr. Curry. I've lived in Southern California for 57 years. I have 29 years experience in disaster response with county, state, and federal agencies. I grew up in Pasadena, the Eaton Fire, LA County. I can tell you, you are completely correct when you say that disaster is a moneymaker. A large fire is a boon to not only firefighters, but the myriad of private contractors, as well as other government workers, hotels who put up responders, food service contractors, laundry service contractors, aircraft contractors, water tender contractors, generator contractors, repair contractors, transportation contractors. All the staff comes in the big rigs. Lots and lots and lots of money. Santa Ana winds are an annual occurrence in Southern California. They've contributed to a number of large fires over the years. What is a bit odd about this one is the winds presented themselves in January. They typically seem to arrive in October-ish, but this is not exclusive. We've had little rain, so the dry vegetation is the problem. There's no stopping a fire when it's wind-driven in this fashion. My hometown has been devastated. Fortunately, all of the family property is untouched by flames, and we're happy to hear that. So it's a big moneymaker, and that's what Gavin Newsom is laugh-telling about. Money. And we were very wrong about the residential sprinklers. I'm sure you noticed this.
Well, a lot of people wrote in about there are more tanks than we thought.
No, not the tanks, but about sprinklers in homes. Since 2011, this has been a requirement in California. And many.
Yeah, but most of those houses in Pacific Palisades weren't built in 2011. Those are always there.
So there's plenty of evidence to the contrary. I would say we weren't completely right. I think we should just take the L on this one.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay. All right. Adam@curry.com to email John. That's what always happens.
Now, I got a couple of clips here that are kind of interesting. This is the underreported clip. This is the Act Blue clip.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is a good one.
California Governor Gavin Newsom is trying to defend his handling of the state's deadly wildfire outbreak. And we just told you about his latest attacks toward President-elect Trump. And now he's launching this new website, guys, aimed at combating supposed misinformation around his response to the fires. There's also an option on the website to donate to the California Fire Fund. But here's the thing. It's not a direct donation. Even though there are ways to donate directly to the fund, instead here, the governor is accepting donations through the Democratic fundraising platform Act Blue, which, side note, guys, takes nearly 4% in processing fees. And he's not the only Democrat doing this. Your favorite Senator Elizabeth Warren urged her followers to use her Act Blue link. So did the hosts over at the progressive podcast Pod Save America. Jason, I want to ask you about this. I asked this neutrally. Is it standard protocol to have sort of fundraising for disaster relief occur through Democratic super PAC organizations?
I've never heard or seen of that before. And it is a Democratic-run organization, and they do get a financial benefit for every dollar that goes through it. Think of all the ones they could have donated to, everything from the Red Cross to, I mean, you name it, they could have gone directly to helping people. But no, they're crass enough to put it through a Democratic-run organization called Act Blue.
Crass indeed. And Kaylee, that's the point. Just to hammer home, you can always donate directly to this fire fund. And instead of just linking directly, the governor put it through his super PAC political activist Democratic Party site.
Yeah, it's a horrible look.
So the real kicker here is not even the 4% that they're stealing.
It's through his PAC.
It's the fact that they're collecting the email addresses, the addresses, the demographics, whatever they can get. This is a mailing list scam.
They're the TikTok of politics. It's horrible. It's horrible.
That is horrible, and it's not being covered. Oh, well, he's a mainstream, sure, not talking about it. I have two more clips. First is the LA Times report. The LA Times seems to be at least doing some work on this fire. Fire LA Times.
Yes, got it.
New reporting from the Los Angeles Times is calling into question how prepared LA County was in advance of the deadly wildfires that are raging across the region. As NPR's Liz Baker reports, city officials claim that resources were pre-positioned in high-risk areas ahead of the powerful winds that continue to fuel the blazes.
The LA Times alleges that last Tuesday night, as hurricane force gusts sent flames and embers towards residential neighborhoods, the LA Fire Department only deployed 5 out of 40 available engines, and roughly 1,000 off-duty firefighters were only called in after the firestorm had already gotten out of control. In a press conference, LA Fire Department Chief Kristen Crowley responded.
We follow a system. We did that. We pre-deployed the necessary resources, knowing that, or not knowing, I should be very specific, in where a fire might break out in the city.
When pushed for comment, LA Mayor Karen Bass said, quote, "The buck always stops with me," but refused to elaborate further.
Did you see the owner of the Los Angeles Times?
What about him?
He's the, what is his name, Asian dude?
Yeah, Chong Chong something.
Well, first of all, we'll accept some blame, right? So at the LA Times, we endorse Karen Bass. I think right now in front, that's a mistake, and we admit that. So I thought it was very early, important early on for me to come out. And I think we were one of the few to say competence matters.
By the way, this guy has the oddest head in the world. His head is, it's like Stewie's head.
It's a funny shaped head. It's
very funny shaped head.
The guy's extremely bright.
Oh yeah.
Between 23.
But he got, you know, he bought the paper and he was run over, essentially run over by the staff of lefties.
Yep.
And you know that he did. He backed off, and now he's like doing what the Washington Post and say, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, and oh, we quit.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, these reporters have to think twice about quitting in this market. But okay, go ahead and go to the podcast.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So I will stop the LA Times owner clip, and I will go to the latest venture, which includes a refugee from WAPO. I'm sure all of your LibJo friends are talking about it, not talking to you about it, but this is so brave. This is so good.
So brave.
So brave of Jen Rubin, who is in this video with her glasses askew on her head. I kid you not. One, it's like, you know how they're not level?
Right. And she also has a portrait of herself behind herself when she's doing this little presentation.
This is fantastic. This is the textbook example of a failure from the get-go.
Hi, I'm Jen Rubin.
And I'm Norm Eisen.
I am here to announce I am leaving the Washington Post in order to co-found with Norm an exciting new online platform, The Contrarian. Woo! We are going to bring you written material, podcasts, interviews, social media, all in defense of democracy. Our intent is to combat the authoritarian force that we all face. To help us, we have an exciting array of contributors from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds to help us in this venture.
But wait, there's more.
We're going to do politics. We're going to do law. But we know that any successful pro-democracy movement also has to be very vocal about culture. We'll have a humor column.
Oh.
We'll even have a cooking column.
Cooking.
But we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of pro-democracy flavor.
Ugh. And we're going to have pets. We're very pro pets.
We're going to have pets.
So please, join us in this journey. We cannot do this without you. We want your contributions, your input, your ideas.
Thank you for joining The Contrarian.
She's going to be the left-wing Joe Rogan, I tell you. Jen Rubin for the win.
That's unbelievable.
This is just fantastic.
Well, we mentioned Karen Bass. I do want to play this Karen Bass clip because this is just a little tidbit that should be known. This is Karen Bass in Cuba.
You know, listen, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, who's to blame, you know, whether it's Gavin Newsom or the mayor. A lot of people don't realize that Karen Bass is actually at, you know, we talk about these left-wing policies. She has ties to communism. She was cutting sugarcane in Cuba. She's had 15 trips to Cuba, met with Fidel Castro. She is a solid communist. So don't be surprised that your policies make your city look like this when you put a communist, somebody, a communist and a communist sympathizer at the top of your of the heap as the mayor of Los Angeles. It's not surprising. They manage things. Look at how Cuba's managed, and now look at this.
Oh, okay, Fox. Okay. Sugarcane Karen. There it is. Sugarcane Karen.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Yes. You're coming up with good gems.
I'm on fire today.
Not as good as Bondage, but you're getting there.
Now, I'm a little upset just looking at your clip list. You sent me an email, and you made a big stink about it in the newsletter. Where's your Who Killed JFK material?
I have two clips.
Oh, good. Yeah, I knew you had it. Because, and I want to lead into this, because Alex Jones, about the LA fire, he's saying we have to stop saying it's incompetence. He has to say it's criminal negligence. This is the globalists. This was the plan all along. They want to build LA into a smart city. I think he has some points. I think he has
some points. He always has points. He's got good points. It's just that overall there's something sketchy about Alex Jones.
He comes out with this video, which when I saw it, I'm like, isn't this just promotion for a book that came out?
I'm not sure what it... Well, the book already came out. Roger Stone had a book already that developed most of this material, which was the idea that LBJ killed Kennedy by sending this one guy, and there's a link in the newsletter to this the guy's wiki page, Malcolm something.
Mac. Come on, man! You're the one that sent it. This is your beat. Mac Wallace.
Yeah, Mac Wallace. You can look him up on Wikipedia, and he's sketchy. He got away with murder very early on, and one of Lyndon Johnson's lawyers got him off of a murder rap where he was found guilty of murder, and he gets a suspended sentence for some unknown reason. This is Texas politics. Texas is, at its best, is more corrupt than any place.
We're great. Number one. And foam finger number one.
And so Lyndon Johnson then had the guy by the nuts and said, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you got to
kill Kennedy.
Well, he killed a bunch of people, this guy.
Yeah.
Besides just Kennedy, supposedly. And I still don't buy the Kennedy thing. And I think this whole tape that Jones played was, and Jones made a point, it's not AI, he says. Well, this is... It is, I think, AI, but it's beside the point. This clip is dubious because when you're talking to somebody, like if you call me on the phone, do you, or if you're in person in particular, do you say, well, John, what do you think about that, John?
You hate it when people do that.
Nobody does it. Do you? Do you, Adam? Adam, do you do that, Adam?
Well, John, from time to time, I have been known to do this, but it's really to accentuate a point. Like if you killed somebody, I'd say, well, John, you know, you got that guy to kill him.
Yes, this was.
So I make sure. Yeah.
So I have the basic clip that Jones played, which is the Estes basic clip. And then I ran it through Adobe.
Oh, okay. To
clean it up. And when you try, you can't clean it up. But what you can understand when you play it through Adobe is that it kind of screws it up in some parts, and then the other part gets really normal, and the background noise is always the same.
Oh, you've done deep forensic analysis, I can see.
I did some. How deep it is.
With Adobe.
But I'm telling you, it shows me that this clip is fake. But let's listen to it. If you can understand it, if you don't want to play the whole thing because it's unintelligible,
it's one of those that you really need the captions.
You need the subtitles. The Billy Saul Estes talking to this Cliff guy who is was the chief of staff for Lyndon Johnson, and the two of them are talking about how they're disappointed in Lyndon for killing Kennedy.
Okay, it's unintelligible, so let's go to your forensic experiment where you've cleaned it up.
Now listen to the fake part, and then listen to when it cleans itself up, and then it goes back to being crummy. Now listen, you have to listen. I'll tell you when to stop it.
You're getting me half right treat you today. Well, so it's been a pretty technical situation, living out it. Quite a few unpleasant words here lately.
Oh. It sounds like Bill Clinton. I think Bill Clinton killed Kennedy. That's what it sounds like.
Well, the deal was that he hired Mark Wallace to assassinate the president. It's been acting their way. But we lived through this far, and I guess we'll continue to do so. Lyndon should have never issued that order to Mike. We've had our differences in.
It's interesting how some of it's really good, and then all of a sudden
it goes right into being legible, which is what Adobe's supposed to. I think this has been doctored.
It's been doctored.
And now the story behind this tape, which is that this guy is Billy Saul Estes, who is a very famous, people can look him up. I mean, it's a past history, but he was a corrupt guy, but it's seemingly a great family, blah, blah, blah. But he's handed this down, and it got handed down to, I guess, the grandson, who was told that he'll know when to release it. And so I'm...
And I'm going to do it on Alex Jones' show.
So he's going to... So he releases it curiously just before we know two things. One, we know that supposedly Trump has promised to release the Kennedy stuff, mm-hmm. the Kennedy information.
Mm-hmm. The timing is questionable.
And so this... throw shade on Lyndon Johnson and get this is what is a story that makes some sense, and it takes the pressure off
of
the CIA. Oh. The CIA, even though I don't think the CIA killed Kennedy, I don't think they do that to American politicians, but I think the mob did, which is we've talked about this on the show a million times. And but the CIA may have known about it, or they did something.
They didn't stop him.
They couldn't stop him. They tried maybe. Who knows? But the CIA has got some involvement. But this is a distraction to throw off what's going to happen, because I have to assume the CIA could have produced this. They could also have been in the process over the last, I don't know how many months, producing fake documents to release. I think the whole thing's going to come out, and it's going to be, they're going to throw the blame on Lyndon Johnson. This is bull crap. It's a op. This is an op, and Jones is part of it.
Who needs QAnon when you've got John C. Dvorak? This is excellent. I appreciate that. And with that, I will say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in sugarcane Karen, say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. John C. Dvorak!
Hey, in the morning, you said I'm creating more ships, sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls. What are we supposed to have on Thursdays? 1978, baby. Woo! We're blowing it out of the water with the trolls. Hello, trolls.
That's when Bordeaux wine started becoming good again.
I like it. It's good to have you here, trolls. Very good to have you checking in, trollroom.io or noagenda.stream, and, of course, the modern podcast apps. You want to grab one of those, you want to grab them before everything's taken off the app store. You know that if you stop your subscription with Audible, your audiobooks go away? You can't play them?
This happened to you?
Yeah, it's a big scam.
It is a scam.
The way it works is, it's not like you're a member of Audible and you can buy a
book. You don't have a copy of the book? You didn't back up a copy?
Silly me. I just paid the subscription and it all came back to life. The way they do it, though, the scam is... you get credits. Give me some credit, man. They give you credits every month, and those are for books. So you're paying for books that you haven't bought. And so Tina's like, hey,
I'm sorry.
Yes. So you're buying books every month, whether you use your credits or not. So I have 12 credits.
For 12 books?
Yes. No, I can now download 12 more books, but I have to keep paying. It's like a library that has you chained, you're shackled.
Huh.
Yeah. Silicon Valley. That's no good. So get one of those modern podcast apps, because your podcast will not go away. Not this podcast, not the best podcast in the universe or any other podcast. Unless it's removed at the source, but it won't go away like things have been known to disappear from Spotify. And if you listen to podcasts with ads on Spotify, they're not, you can't skip them. How about that nonsense?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. if you listen to a podcast on Spotify that is hosted by arguably the largest ad insertion company, Megaphone, which they purchased, you cannot skip the ads in your Spotify app. How about that?
That's, well, it's good for the advertiser.
It's great for the advertiser. It's great for the modern podcast apps because you can skip them there, podcastapps.com.
Should be able to skip anything. You should be able to skip anything you want. You should be able to skip the ads, the content, the whatever you want to skip, you should be able to skip.
Nope, can't do it. So we run this.
What kind of control is that? This is not helping the end user.
Remember the promise? It'll be great. You will control everything. You don't control anything. Just like we're not controlled because we have the value for value model. So we're not controlled about what we say, how we say it, when we say it, our own thinking about what we talk about. There's no control about that. Value for value means we're free to give you top-notch value as a service to humanity. We're happy to do it. All we ask for in return is that from time to time, whenever you feel the need, whenever you feel that you've received enough value or it's just so valuable you need to send something back, you can do it with time, talent, and treasure. Actually, I got a note from Zach. He's thinking of starting a value for value bakery for cookies. He says, so he has a break room, about 60 people in the company, and they have a family business.
He'd be robbed blind if he was in San Francisco.
He says he wants to try it. No, he's not in San Francisco. He says, do you think it will work? He says it costs about 15 cents a cookie, sometimes a little more, to make them. Actually, says between 15 cents and a dollar. Do you think that value for value will work in the break room with about 60 people in the company? And I'm like, you should try it. Let us know. I have
it's like the Honor Bar. It's like the Honor Farms that we have in Washington State.
They work,
it's
right?
It's like the Honor. They work, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the Honor Bar. And there's a lot of companies have a little, you know, thing where they have a bunch of candy and they have a little, you're supposed to donate to the candy fund.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not an unusual situation.
Yeah.
But if you have honest employees, but if you have one or two criminals.
Mm.
Doesn't take that much. It ruins it for everybody.
Hey, we don't want criminals. You could have
criminals are no good.
You have a value for value stooges who snitch and post everybody's name who didn't leave some
money. Hidden cameras. That's the way to go.
Part of our value for value is time and talent, along with the treasure. And the time and talent comes most frequently in the form of end of show mixes. We appreciate all of our end of show mixers. And our artists who post to noagendaartgenerator.com, which seems to be, I'd say, about 99% AI now. I've just given up. But the last batch, we had a lot to choose from, all AI, and you know, none of it really spectacular. It's okay. It's clean looking, looks good. It was Data who brought us really the one that we liked the most, which was the just very sad looking Bambi in front of the burning Hollywood sign. But it wasn't something that people went, wow, that's awesome. That's great art. People just don't do that.
Not with this, some of this stuff.
No, and it's crazy that Darren O'Neill, who has no other skills that we know of, has somehow figured out how to be
fan. He's one of the best guys I've seen do this stuff.
He's one of the best prompt jockeys I've ever. I mean, he could get a job anywhere. No, instead he spends his time, all 6 foot six of him, just making art for us. And you know, we can't choose Darren all the time. We just can't.
I did choose him again for the
newsletter. I know you did. I saw
newsletter.
It. I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. So we like Data. We like what Data did. Let's see what else there was. It was just all. It's. I feel bad for our Dutch masters. They've given up. They just given up. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. AI has ruined art. Ruined it. A lot of gay fire hydrants. Okay, we got it. A lot of babes dressed up as fire women, which is like, I felt it was just inappropriate. You know, like, I did like a comic strip blogger who came in fast and hard with a butt with a thermometer stuck in it. Good job, commenter blogger. Yeah, we're going to choose that one.
I like the DEI dropping Gatorade.
Yeah, but the problem I had with it is you, and who did that? Kakondi. You couldn't, I look at the Gatorade logo, I'm not a sports ball guy, and so it didn't register.
You didn't know what it was. It's G.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the G for? I don't get it. Yeah, Gatorade. Actually, turns out, I have some clips on what that stuff is. Do you know about the fire suppressant?
Technically, no, but I would be interested.
I'm glad you're interested.
And it's not green, it's red.
It is red.
Have you ever wondered what the fire retardant that air tankers drop during a wildfire?
Yeah. Yes.
And what do you do if any of that fire retardant gets on your vehicle or your home?
There's a question.
Well, let's break it down and talk about what fire retardant is. First, wildland firefighting retardant is primarily made of water. In fact, 85% of the chemical compound is water. The remainder of it is 10% is fertilizer. Various different fertilizers can make up fire retardant. And that fertilizer does a couple things. One, it cools down the vegetation, coating the brush, the trees with the retardant so that by the time the fire gets to it, it slows down the fire. It takes out the heat so that firefighters on the ground can actually put the fire out. The last remaining is a 5% of other minor ingredients, one of those being the color. We dye it red, this kind of pinkish color, specifically because that's the easiest for our pilots in the air to see where the retardant has been dropped. In some cases, we're going to connect drop after drop after drop. And so we want to make sure that it's easily visible. And so we use a very high, powerful color like this red. We've tested other colors before, but it's this reddish color, this light reddish color, that really is the best.
You know, I was just thinking, now with red dye number 3 on the chopping block, do you think that that's...
Or 2, I don't know which number it is.
Number 3. Do you think that's what they use, red dye number 3?
Well, they probably do. It's one of the great dyes of the world.
Well, it's for both
killing
now.
Killing everybody. Well, and here's the other thing. Doesn't fertilizers used to make bombs?
I know. I found that peculiar myself.
The Anfo bomb.
But the guy does like saying retardant. It's like, oh, I get to say the R word. Retardant. Oh, I said retardant. I'm sorry, what did I say? So here's the question you really want to know. What happens if you get it on you?
Now, if you live within a fire area and you get fire retardant on you, your home, or your car, here are some steps on what to do. First,
lick it.
The things you should do. First, wash it off with water. The sooner, the better. Yeah. Whether that's yourself, again, your vehicle or your home, you want to get it off. That fertilizer, that's that component of the retardant, can do damage to your paint or even your skin if left untreated. If your skin gets on it, you want to wash it with gentle soap. You might want to have some moisturizer, some lotion, because it could dry out the skin. What you don't want to do is let your pets get into the fire retardant, Foscheck being one of the many retardant chemicals, brands that are out there. Be careful not to leave it in standing water that other animals may drink out of. The retardant has ingredients like ammonia, which may burn if it gets into...
Dude, they have fertilizer and ammonia?
No, that fertilizer's ammonium nitrate.
That stuff burns.
That's the stuff you use to make bombs.
That's crazy.
And into your skin. So you want to make sure that you're cleaning it off really quickly. You can use a garden hose. Go on top of your roof.
If you have water.
Spray it down on your home. Cars with smooth surfaces, typically that fire retardant will come off very easily. If not, you can take a brush or a rag and just help to scrub it off. Again, mostly water will help get it.
No, there you go.
Wow, that was a very educational clip for the audience.
It's a bonus clip. Was there anything else on the art we needed to discuss? I thought, by the way, Sir Shugs, your phone out of minutes was funny. It didn't quite come across. I thought it was a funny bit. You said you had to fill up your phone. And then trying to put like so-called lesbians saving Bambi in the forest. You liked it.
I did not. I didn't say anything about that clip. No.
Clip. A bit of art.
Yeah, I mean, about that piece of art. You're talking about the lesbians with the Bambi? No, the ones I liked. No, I did like the lesbian ones with the fire dykes. That's the one I liked. I don't think
completely unrealistic women.
Well, I didn't want to pick it. This is a Scaramanga, you know, cheesecake pick.
Speaking of Scaramanga, he has rejected
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I figured that was going to happen.
He rejected.
That's not his real name. We don't know who he is. He's some sort of guy. Maybe he's the most could be some commercial New York artist for all we know. And he's trying to hide out. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to give his address out.
He rejected his Masters of Fine. He says no. Printing and sending a document that's unnecessary. It's like giving a medal to a cheetah for running fast.
Kind of an interesting analogy.
Yes, and I will read that he says, for this rumor that I hate the show, let's squash that nonsense right here. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm guessing this is just one of your running gags. Still, I admit I got a little spun up last year by the feral trolls on NAS. Despite the vermin infestation, I found some decent folk there and even made a few friends. If my ire came through, blame it on a rough patch. He did have some issues, personal issues. I've been a fan of yours since the early aughts when I was studying technology in college. Adam, I'll be honest. Back then, all I knew about you was that you were an emaciated, possibly gay, former MTV VJ with immaculate hair.
Possibly gay. He nailed it.
He nailed it. Yeah, I missed the memo on your genius. My bad. No hard feelings. I've never had hard feelings. This is John who has the problem. I got no problem.
I have my coot.
Yeah, you're a coot. Exactly. It's the coot that has the problem. Cooties.
Yeah.
Coot problems. Thank you very much to Data for the artwork for episode 1729. We titled that Algo Chasers, and I see that we have some more fine Algo artwork that has come in. It'll be another fun job to choose from that. It's tough. It's very, very tough. So there is plenty of time to get your submissions in. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Anybody can participate, and they're not just used for album art for the show. We use other pieces for newsletters, for bat signals, and of course, Dreb Scott does a great job putting together our chapters in the Modern Podcast app, which will rotate on your dashboard when you're using it in the car. Now to the treasure part. We thank everybody who sends us $50 or above. We mention who, the amount, where you're from. Complete transparency, unlike any other model within any broadcast organization. And we have special titles, which are very Hollywood, so they are official. We feel it's only appropriate that if you are a producer, you are able to get a credit, an official credit, an associate executive producer, $200 or more, and we'll read your note, an executive producer, $300 or more, and we'll read your note. And all of these can be used anywhere credits are recognized, which includes imdb.com. Now, we start with a rather long note, but we don't have that many, so I'll read through it. Julian Swan is in Westmoreland, Tennessee. Jumps in right away. The first time in weeks, maybe months, we've had an Instanite.
Yep.
How long has it been since we've had an Instanite?
We haven't had one since last year.
Okay. $1,000, he says, it's been a while, old friends. I've been a listener ever since episode 605 back in 2014. I've been to many different meetups, mostly in the Atlanta area. Then we got saved and moved to Nashville, Tennessee for a church that stayed open during the fake virus. Oh, it's one of the few. That's great. I'm so glad to hear of your salvation, Adam. Welcome to the army of the Son of God. We need all the good men we can get in this fight. That's right, the spiritual war. You guys were fundamental in my awakening. Hard to scroll here. I wouldn't be where I am today without you. Your ability to extract narratives from their pigeonholed position in the mainstream media and draw them out to a greater sphere of understanding, dissecting them from multiple different angles. This process armed me with a rational and logical mind. I used to obliterate cultural narratives everywhere I heard them. This did not do much for my popularity. No, that usually doesn't. But at least it made people think. Today, my wife and I teach equity jurisprudence. Wow. We help people learn how to present themselves in court without an attorney. Well, that's actually very interesting. We have many credible victories, and we have seen miracles happen that you would scarcely believe. We also teach a class on trusts and how to protect your assets and businesses without contracting with the state. Our website is standingontherock.com. Standingontherock.com. It's still under construction. But there's a good introductory video there about what we do. Thank you guys so much. I could seriously not have done it without you both. There were a good 7 or 8 years there that I did not miss a single minute of a single episode. I did get mad at John one time for shutting down a conversation about terrain theory. And I admit I was mean to Adam on No Agenda Social about it. I repent of my sins. I bless you both in the name of Jesus. Please knight me Sir Swan of the Equitable Remedies. I love you guys. I credit you both as my original mentors and spiritual fathers. God makes his face to shine upon you both. Godspeed from Julian Swan. And we shall be knighting him later. Thank you very much,
Julian. What's he talking about this terrain thing?
I'm sure it's something you went, that's bullcrap, back in the NAS days. Don't fret over it.
I fret over everything.
Yeah. That's what coots do.
Sir PDR is tist. PDR tist. In Lou Warden.
Leeuwarden.
Leeuwarden. Yeah, Netherlands. 350-58. Good morning, gents. First of all, I would like to wish you both a very happy and prosperous new year with the 10th anniversary or 10th birthday of our beautiful daughter, Lily Louise, coming up next Saturday. I decided it was time to send some of my pre-Trump crypto gains to my friends at the other end.
Nice.
Please put her on the birthday list, and can we get her some goat karma as well? Please, thanks. Thank you for keeping us sane in these crazy times. Guys, keep up the good work. Love and light. It's Sir PDR. Okay, let me try it.
Okay.
Bauke Overbosch.
Not that bad. Bauke Overbosch.
Bauke Overbosch.
You've got karma.
Then we have Zachary McClellan from Frankenmuth, Michigan. And it says, Adam has note. Now, I'm going to presume, no, I know that this is the noagendafudge.com people, noagendafudge.com. It is a better idea to send the note to notes at noagendashow.com or .net?
Well, no, this is not right. What you're saying is correct. But the reason it says Adam has notes, because this is the check that Tina sent in the mail that you picked up personally. And I figured if there was a note, you'd have it. And I put that in there.
Oh, okay. But still, they should send the note because I don't have the note. This was 2 weeks ago.
Did he say anything? Did he say hello?
Well, there was a nice note, and it was a great note. But I don't have the note, and I don't have the fudge anymore either. The fudge is gone.
You ate the fudge?
Ate all the fudge. We ate the first fudge. We ate within an hour of it coming in, Tina and I together. And this is a block of fudge.
It's a big block of fudge.
He
packed
blocks.
A lot of fudge for you.
He's a fudge packer, and it was just amazing. And then that was the caramel sea salt. That's Tina's favorite. Then we took a second one to our New Year's. This is how long ago? To our New Year's Eve gathering at some friend's house. I don't remember which one we took there. And everybody ate that fudge. And then we gave the turtle fudge to Pastor Jimmy and Annette. They hated us for it. Like, you guys, what did you do to us? And then we the last one we ate ourselves. It's amazing. Noagendafudge.com. 333.
Well, the notes lost to history.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful note. And
that's nice.
That's nice. And thank you very much, noagendafudge.com. I told you, we went to our New Year's Eve dinner, and a person there went, it's Frankenmuth fudge. I can't believe it.
We had the same experience. Jesse, JC's wife, Jesse Christensen, she was raised in Michigan, and
everybody
in Michigan knows about these guys.
Yep.
Eric Dardarian's next on the list. He's in Trabuco Canyon, California. He came in with $333, and he has a very good note. It's kind of the best note that we have on the show so far, and he says, thank you.
That's Sir Era Dardarian, and we thank you indeed. Lindsay Frick is in Aurora, Illinois. Switcheroo! Okay. This $333 donation credit is for my dad, Larry, for his birthday. Okay, so I'm going to put Larry in there. Hold on. Larry. I presume his name is Larry Frick. We don't Oh, Copilot just said something. Uh-oh. So I just changed the cell on my Excel sheet. Up pops a dialogue. Copilot. New. Copilot included in your Microsoft 365 plan. Microsoft 365 is now enhanced with Copilot, our powerful AI companion that makes completing tasks a breeze.
Oh, Clippy.
Yeah. Your subscription unlocks AI credits to experience Copilot across 365 apps and beyond. Oh, get started. Oh, Copilot just popped up. What's it going to do for me? Is it going to change it? Oh, autosave is turned off. I only work with files that have autosave turned on. Turn it on to continue. All right.
Does it say that?
Yes. And then it...
Oh, please.
Now it pops a box to the top.
So it's going
to
lecture you about autosave and the rest of it. So that's the convenience of this. It's going to tell you, yeah, you're not doing it right.
So check it out. So I click turn on autosave. It then goes to the top left of the Excel app. And it says, how do I turn on autosave? And it has a little box there. Before autosave can save your file, you need to fix the following. The file was created in an unsupported file format. Please select file save as to update the file format.
Oh, please.
And then this file needs to be saved to the cloud first. And so I hit the autosave button on. Yeah. It won't even do it unless I just save it to the cloud. Screw you, Pilot. Copilot. Horrible. How about that?
And why?
Why? Because they need to.
Because they want this data in their cloud. They can steal the data.
Yes, there you go. Anyway, this donation credit is for my dad Larry's birthday on January 17th. Please deduce it.
You've been deduced.
And wish Larry Jr. a very happy birthday as an executive producer. A family that no agendas together stays together.
Okay, we go on to Ty Glander in Kirkland, Washington, home of Costco. 315.85. Not a switcheroo. Sir Lee Bray's birthday was Saturday. It's another birthday.
Yep.
He hosts the podcasting 2.0 Value for Value Lightning Thrasher show. SirLeeBray.com, Lightning Thrashes.
This
podcast?
Yeah, I do. It's heavy metal value for value music. I sure do. Yeah. Sir Libre is a big contributor to the Value for Value podcasting 2.0 community. He's a very important guy. And now that I know he lives in the home of Costco, so we went to Costco, Tina and I, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We walked out of there and like we could not believe what we had spent on really not a lot of stuff. The price
you always spend $150 to $200. $200 used to be my average.
Twice that.
$400?
Yes.
On what?
A chicken.
A chicken is $5.
Chicken is $6 a pound for chicken breasts.
Oh, you bought the chicken. Oh, $6 a pound. You must have spent a fortune on chicken.
Well, we bought some other stuff.
And 100 pounds of chicken.
but you know, the one thing they still have is the $1.50 hot dog in a drink, which people revolted over them trying to raise the price on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a scam.
Why?
Well, I am a longtime consumer of the Costco $1.50 hot dog and drink. So first off, the bun is only 60% the size of the dog. It sticks out on both sides. It's a puny bun. They skimp on the bun. Second, the drink container is smaller than it used to be. I don't know sizes, but it's smaller. Third, you can only now get Pepsi products. There's no root beer. There's no Dr. Pepper. It's only Pepsi or Diet Pepsi or water.
Well, that's just your place because none of that's going on here.
Third,
the buns are the same as they always have been. The container size is the same. It's some scam going on your local store.
Third, the onion grinder has been removed.
Yes, that has happened everywhere.
I like the onion grinder.
I like the onion grinder too.
Third, they no longer put it in a heat sealing bag. It's just a brown paper bag. So if you don't eat it there, it's going to be cold by the time you get in the car. This is no good. I'm very upset with Costco.
Well, the big upset you should be with the chick with the all pre-cooked chicken, which they've taken out of the container, which I gave know. Me my tip of the day, which you could tell it was really the right Wait, chicken
I
or not.
I thought they put it back.
No, as far as I can tell, at least locally here, it just goes into some crummy bag, some sort of a bag that accumulates the juice. So if the bag happens to have a little tear in it or something, it gets all over the car. It's a nightmare.
All right. Thank you very much, Ty.
I do it well. I should have. I'll have a bonus tip of the day about Costco.
Michael Romano, Petaluma, California. Hey, Petaluma. We know Petaluma, home of broken networks. First associate executive producer, 237. ITM, gents, this is dedicated to my son, Dario Lu Romano, to celebrate his first birthday and start him out right on his path to knighthood. Please put him on the birthday list, as well as we will be celebrating on the 17th, as he's our little bringer of goodness. Oh, good. He's on the list. Thank you, Michael.
And there we go to, look who it is. It's Eli the Coffee Guy in Bensonville, Illinois, $201.16. And he says, I watched Biden's farewell speech.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the man, but I'll miss him. His vacuous platitudes, mumbling nonsense, and gaffes. Although it wasn't Eisenhower's plowshare speech. By the way, I think Biden was trying to pull an Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah, with the tech industrial complex, which, funny enough, spells tick. Like, okay, yeah, that's good. All right, Biden.
Biden warned the people about the oligarchy, yes, which nobody knows what that even means. The tech industrial complex and AI. History doesn't... I didn't get any clips from this thing.
Did I get a Biden clip? I think I might.
Yeah, if you do, I want to hear it.
Yes, I do.
History repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Can I get jingles, Don't Sniff Me, Biden, and Whole Load for all you dog-faced pony soldiers needing good coffee? Visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com. What a segue. Code ITM for your 20% off your first order. No joke. Stay caffeinated, Eli the Coffee Guy.
Don't sniff me, Joe Biden.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
That's disgusting. You want to hear a speech? I got a speech.
Yeah, play it.
It was a message of both hope and warning.
Hope and warning.
In his final days in the White House, President Biden wished the incoming Trump administration success, but said American democracy was under threat.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms.
Biden could be referring to Donald Trump himself, but also some of those closest to him, invoking the words of Dwight Eisenhower, who in his own farewell speech in 1961 expressed concerns about the military-industrial complex. Biden took aim at big tech.
I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech-industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press...
Clearly aimed at
the free press.
The free press. I think I like doing these clips during the donation segment because all those douchebags who skip over it, they miss all the best stuff. It's like our little secret. Don't tell... Please, don't... If you're listening now, don't tell anybody. And you say, yeah, I heard that. And they're like, well, you heard that on No Agenda? Yeah, I heard it. You didn't hear it? What's wrong with you? Your ears clogged or something? You listened to the right show? What's wrong with you? Linda Lupatkin, Lakewood, Colorado, $200.
There we go.
Let me get ready for it. I want to make sure I do this right. It's time for me to do a perfect read. And she says, jobs karma. Go to imagemakersinc.com. Why? Because you'll get a resume that gets results. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K for all your executive resume and job search needs, and work with Linda Liu, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Woo! Nailed it.
Last on the list, or close to the last, is Giselle Woods.
Gisella.
Gisella Woods. A Wodzis.
There you go.
W-O-D-Z-I-S-Z. I'm Kura. Not sure how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Seems like a Polish name, and I should be able to pronounce it. North Royalton, Ohio, $200. My name is Gisella. It's Italian. Woods is Polish. I was right. I submitted a $200 donation today for my smoking hot husband, Tom, for his birthday this Friday, January 17th. He's on the list. Tom introduced me to the show a year or two ago. I was reluctant at first, but gave it another shot and have been a loyal listener ever since. We both need a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Keep up the great work, and we love the show for more years.
There you go. And that completes our list of executive and associate executive producers, interspersed with some clips other people will not hear. Welcome to the exclusive donation club, everybody. It's good to have you here. We will be thanking people $50 and above. And, of course, we always love our sustaining donors. You can go to noagendadonations.com. Enter any amount, any frequency. It can be small. Just keep it going. Keep it coming. Set it and forget it. Noagendadonations.com. Thank you again to our executive and associate executive producers for 1730.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Don't sniff me, Joe Biden.
Shut up.
Don't sniff me, Joe Biden. Nice. Okay, it's starting. We heard the Surgeon General come out and say, drinking gives you cancer, which of course has been known for many years. I think it already is on many labels already. May cause cancer, may cause birth defects. I mean, it's not like an unknown thing. But then the Surgeon General came out, it was a whole flurry, and you know, we were like, you know, maybe there's some report that's going to drop, maybe something bad is going to happen. I will note that although not in the United States, the Daily Mail reports another mystery cancer explosion. Unexpected surge.
Jeez, a mystery.
Death rates double, making it UK's fastest rising cancer killer, and it's liver cancer, interestingly enough. Here in the United States, we are clearly, and this goes back to a very old no agenda theory, clearly want to kill people by making them drink more.
Joining us now is professor at Northwestern University Medical School and WGN Morning News medical contributor, Dr. Lauren Strecker. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Let's start off with alcohol and the Surgeon General. Yeah, what is the latest?
A big topic of discussion because, of course, the Surgeon General wants there to be a warning on every bottle of alcohol. Not just a warning, but like a neon sign that says, do not drink this.
Now, we know from the cigarette warnings in Europe, when you have big signs that say, this is going to kill you, what happens, John?
Sales go up.
And when you look at this controversy, there's really a lot of different aspects because there's the medical, and then there's the political, and then there's the financial, and then there's the cultural. So let's stick to the medical for a second, okay? It is not a controversy. We've known this for a long time that alcohol is associated with 7 different kinds of cancers, maybe more. Breast cancer, maybe 1 out of 6 women that gets breast cancer, it can be attributed to alcohol.
Breast
a lot of
cancer.
Other, of course, medical conditions that go along with alcohol. Not a controversy. 50% of people, there was a study that was done, have no clue. They do not know. They are not aware that drinking alcohol can cause cancer, which is what this is all about. So the controversy is how much? You know, is it okay to have a little alcohol?
No.
Should there be no alcohol? Medical experts are all over the map on that because there's so many other circumstances that are going to impact on how much alcohol is going to harm someone, other risk factors for cancer, etc. But that doesn't really matter. What really matters is the idea that there is an association. Okay. But then you get into the bigger picture. Okay, first of all, is it going to make a difference? You know, how many people read those teeny little labels? Is that going to change their activity? Is that going to change their decision-making process?
No.
I don't know.
No, we need the big labels. Big labels.
Need big labels. In fact, dude, they're not going to read the little, they don't even read the label on the bottle itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like you. Hey, so what was that wine you had? Oh, I had a great wine the other day at dinner. What was it? What was it? What was it called?
It was red.
It was a red wine. I don't know what it was called. Nobody even looks at the label, let alone the little label.
So, of course, we are suggesting that possibly some of these COVID vaccines might possibly have been responsible. The timing seems to correlate with correlation is not causation. But over in the UK, something interesting is happening. Dozens of British women, after having their COVID jabs, are reporting ballooning breasts.
Yes, we've had a clip about this a couple of shows, two, three shows ago, and I was convinced at the time, and I'm now more convinced than ever with this newest report, that this is a marketing ploy.
It's a great marketing ploy. They have pictures. They have before and after. But I'm saying it's not just a little. This, like, boom. Woman went from a B cup to a triple G within 6 months.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was
But it's only Pfizer. So I think your theory is right.
Of course.
I think your theory is right. I think you're right. It is only Pfizer. Yes. We do luckily have a new ploy by the pharmaceutical industrial complex known as PIC. And they've come up, so we desperately need to get Ozempic and other GLP-1 drugs into Medicare. We need it. Americans need it. So if it's going to be obesity, we don't have enough obese people. So what do you do in the world of marketing if obesity will be the trigger to get your GLP-1 read Novo Nordisk products paid for by the society? We got a lot of obese people, but it's just not enough. What can we do to get more people on this? Come on, you're a marketing guy, you know this.
Well, erectile dysfunction is your basic thesis, and I think that would be the best one to do.
No,
we gotten to that yet?
Not yet. We're not there yet. No, this is even better.
Health check. New guidance from a team of health experts around the world proposes expanding the definition of obesity.
We need to expand the definition of obesity. This is,
my doctor once pointed out to me years ago about how the levels of what's safe cholesterol.
Exactly.
He's watched it over 30 years. Keeps going up.
Yep.
The pills, they peak out at the statins peak. Oh, let's just jack the number up.
Health check. New guidance from a team of health experts around the world proposes expanding the definition of obesity. The Commission on Clinical Obesity recommends reducing the emphasis on body mass index, known as BMI. The panel proposed also taking into account someone's body fat measurements and the presence of existing health issues when diagnosing someone as obese. The report also introduces two new diagnostic categories, clinical obesity and preclinical obesity.
Pre-obesity. Why don't you just call it that?
I'm pre-obese. This is unbelievable. No, it's completely believable. Meanwhile,
it's totally. Where's Kennedy?
Doctors have discovered that there is a yet another new side effect of these GLP-1 products, a condition called allodynia.
Oh, the eyeball thing?
No, it's hypersensitivity to pain. Wearing clothing can even feel painful, even wind blowing on your skin.
Well, that's not good.
No. Yeah,
but we haven't discussed the blindness thing, too. That was the real kicker.
We talked about the blindness. We talked about the blindness. Some people describe the sensation on their skin as being like bad sunburn, with the sensation of touch triggering a sharp, stinging, or burning pain. This is just...
Are they taking ecstasy with this and this getting this combination effect?
I don't know. Dr. Dvorak, once again, you make a valid point. And down under in Australia, we have actually found something in mosquitoes that can kill us. It's great. And it's from Japan.
Tiny carriers of a deadly disease.
Seizures, severe brain damage and death.
Japanese encephalitis is endemic to the Torres Strait and Asia. There, it causes around 20,000 deaths each year.
Well, health authorities have issued a nationwide Japanese encephalitis alert.
In early 2022, hey, Australia
stop
had...
Stop the clip. 20,000 a year now coming to light? Are you kidding me? That number's way too high.
I'm not kidding you. I'm just playing clips on a podcast. It's Japanese encephalitis, which they say encephalitis for some reason, but we say encephalitis, which is your brain swelling until it blows out of your head.
Nationwide Japanese encephalitis alert.
In early 2022, Australia had its first cluster, 31 cases and 6 deaths. And now an ominous warning.
In the worst case scenario, it's like we think that at most 700,000 to 800,000 people could be exposed.
Woo! The virus is traced back to wading birds, which are flocking in greater numbers to new wetlands that have been created by Queensland's third La Nina event. Mosquitoes then spread the virus from birds to humans. It can also be transmitted through pigs.
A very large number of pig farms became infected.
Kill One in 25 people exposed to the virus are estimated to catch it. Most are asymptomatic, but symptoms can range from fever to seizures.
A large number unfortunately go on to die because there is no drug treatment for Japanese encephalitis. And of those people who survive, then a large number also go on to exhibit significant neurological kind of issues.
There are two vaccines available, but supply is limited.
Oh. So worst case scenario, then there are many more people who need vaccination than we have doses of vaccine. And so I think that's where the extreme concern comes from.
I'm very concerned. Extreme concern, not enough vaccines. Pre-order them. Japanese encephalitis.
Is that all these guys do on the news thing is try to scare the public?
Yeah.
And then promote vaccines. Yeah. Scare the public, promote vaccines. That's their job.
Yes. So MSNBC President Rashida Jones is out.
Yeah.
She's out.
She was on her way out.
Meanwhile, Rachel Maddow, your gal, will host nightly shows on MSNBC for Trump's first 100 days. We're all excited.
You know, they're paying her so much money. Somebody took a look at the books and said, can't we make this girl work a little bit more?
No kidding. And Chuck Todd has left NBC once again.
I thought he was left for good last time.
Keeps leaving.
When did he get back? I didn't hear that part.
Apparently he had a contract for, you know, specials or whatever.
Specials.
And Chuck Todd has quietly been meeting with Washington media organizations about his post-NBC future.
Oh, I know where he's going. He's going to work for Jennifer Rubin.
Yes, of course. I'm here at the, what was it? The Contrarian.
Yes. The Contrarian.
It's
contrary to what?
Contrary to good
what
content.
Are they contrary to? It sounds like a bunch of Democrat, you know, knee-jerk Democrats.
Chuck Todd will be the new Joe Rogan of the left. We're looking, you know, some say it's going to be Kelsey's girlfriend or wife. What's her name? Tyler? Is her name Tyler? Tyler Kelsey?
Taylor.
Is it Taylor?
Taylor Swift Kelsey.
No. No, it's the sister. Hold on a second.
I need to know this. This is Tyler. Gossip that I'm unaware of. I don't know of a Tyler.
Yes.
Which is a male name, I should mention.
Is it not Tyler? Maybe it's not Tyler. Oh, man. Let me see. Hold on a second. Kelsey.
Come on, chat room. Woman. Troll room. Get
Kelsey
to work.
Woman podcast. Let me see. What's her name? Kylie. It's Kylie. Not going to lie with Kylie. There you go. Not going to lie with Kylie. It's great. It's highly produced. Each episode is exactly 45 minutes.
Oh, that's podcasting at its essence.
And she does clips on YouTube. Not going to lie with Kylie Kelsey. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Presented by Dunkin' Donuts. So you know it's quality.
And they, you know, the audience is targeted.
Play your mic clip, man. I want to play the mic clip. This is great news. Tina said, did you hear about this? I'm like, what? All right, here we go.
Yeah, play the mic clip.
The mic clip is good.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama has confirmed she will not attend the upcoming inauguration of President-elect Trump on January 20th. Her husband, former President Barack Obama, will be present. The Obama's office provided no reason for Michelle Obama's absence. Her decision follows a similar move earlier this month when she did not attend the state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter.
Oh, they didn't have the money shot. The
okay,
money,
what is it?
The money shot is they're heading for public divorce.
Oh, well, nobody, that's not confirmed.
It's in the Daily Mail.
That's not going to happen.
Michelle, and you know, and also Obama is hanging around Jennifer Aniston a little bit too much. He's found a new guy to hang out with.
Boy, he can charm her.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And she needs to be loved. Jennifer does. She really needs to be loved.
So I ran into her once, you know, and she had a chat with her.
Really? At an airport. Yeah. Let me guess, at an airport.
Yeah, she was in Austin.
I think you've told this story. Go ahead. Let's.
I didn't recognize her because I wasn't a big Friends watcher at the time. And she was, well, I noticed her, though, when she was at the ticket counter, because she was next to me at the ticket counter. And so I looked at her and I noticed it. She had a look about her, but she had her nose looked like it had been worked on a lot. And it was, I'm sure she used a lot of makeup on it, but it looked dead. It was a dead nose. It's hard to explain, but it was super white.
Mm.
And so I go over to the,
hey, what's wrong with your nose?
Did you do that? Yeah. Well, I wasn't a coot at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the check-in or the area where the boarding area, and I guess she's going to get on the same plane.
Yeah.
I happen to be in first class. Yeah. Upgrade. I was upgraded. Yeah, upgraded.
I'm sure. Yes.
And so there's a bunch of girls running around all giddy, and I called one of them aside. I said, what's going on? What is everyone all jumpy about around here? And she's, oh, it's an actress, blah, 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 blah. She's, I said, what actress? She says, she's on Friends. And she never told me who it was. And I realized who it was. Because she had lived in Austin, I guess, at the time. And this flight was going from Austin to New York or Austin to L.A. or something.
That's probably when she and Pitt were in Austin for a bit. I think they lived in Austin for a little while.
Yeah, too. Anyway, so we got on the plane, and she was right in the same aisle I was in, and I chatted with her for a while.
And you went, hey, what did you chat about?
And she told me she lived in Austin, and it was just a dumb, I was going to offer a ride when I got to where we were going.
And you saw the limo, and we're like, oops.
No, it wasn't even that. When as soon as the plane landed and we all got out, there was like six people. That grabbed her.
Yeah.
To pick her up. And that was the last I saw of her. She had an entourage waiting for her. Yeah. I thought she was pleasant and to be easy to talk to, but she was obviously not going to talk after she was out of the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak's brush with greatness.
It's a brush. Yeah, brush.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, turn it off. Yeah, turn off that.
Hey. Don't tell me how to produce the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a miscellaneous clip here to play.
All right.
Let's play this cultural heritage BS.
Cultural heritage BS. It comes from NPR, so obviously.
The World Monuments Fund has released its list of most endangered places. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports this year it includes a Ukrainian museum damaged by Russian missiles and an ancient Turkish city shaken by earthquakes.
The list comes out every 2 years. The point is to raise awareness and money for fragile cultural sites under threat, says World Monuments Fund President Benedict de Moutlard.
Conflict and natural disaster is a very important category.
That's why all of Gaza was included. The organization said massive destruction of markets, mosques, churches, and other buildings affects hearts and minds. Sites endangered by climate change include historic lighthouses in Maine and Africa's Swahili coast.
Oh, yeah.
Also on the list, the moon. Under threat by what the World Monuments Fund describes as exploitative visitation in a space race involving multiple countries and corporations.
Yeah, Musk has just shot off a rocket to the moon without people on board. And his space tourism is going to mess up Neil Armstrong's footprints. That's the story. They're very upset about it. Go easy with your landing there, Musk. Speaking of NPR.
The moon.
Speaking of NPR, the speech police are out. NPR is the speech police are telling you how to talk.
Immigration is always in the news.
Yes, it is. It's always in the news.
Late last week, President Biden extended temporary protected status for folks from Venezuela, El Salvador, and Ukraine. And incoming, President Trump has vowed to implement mass deportations, among other things. Just as the stories are ever evolving, so too is the language we use to talk about them.
Here we go.
NPR recently changed its guidance on how we reporters talk about this issue on our air and in pieces for our website. Tony Cavan.
What's with that? Why? This is new. This is new? NPR.
I don't think so. This is a British affectation. The guys who used to talk like that. Yeah. And they used to suck back.
Suck back. It's disgusting.
How we reporters
it is disgusting.
Talk about this issue on our air and in pieces for our website. Tony Cavan is NPR's managing editor of Standards and Practices, and he is here now to walk us through some of the new guidance. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Mary Louise.
Okay.
Hi, Mary Louise.
So I think you should take notes, get out your pen, because this is how we are supposed to talk about immigration. And spoiler alert. It's not going to be one word you can use anymore.
I want to share with everybody the lead of the email that you sent to all staff landed in my inbox this morning. It begins, quote, when referring to people who are in the United States without the government's permission, going forward, we should use the term people who are in the United States without legal status.
Wow.
You can't say illegals. You have to say people who are in the United States without the proper documents.
Going forward, we should use the term people who are in the United States without legal status.
I think
legal status.
Why don't they just use newcomers? Newcomers was great. We approved of newcomers.
End quote.
Newcomers was better than this.
Yeah.
Evan, what's the thinking here?
Well, two things. I noticed that our own guidance was contradictory about the use of the term undocumented, mm-hmm. both approving it and not approving it. I just think something didn't get updated, so I knew it was time to do something.
This guy is in charge of speech at NPR.
And I also noticed that the Associated Press had stopped using undocumented as a description for people in here without the government's permission.
So what can we use instead of undocumented, John?
Illegal alien. That's what I would use.
Many of the people do have documents. They don't have the right documents.
You got the wrong documents.
Oh, they got the wrong documents. They got documents. Like they got like a business card maybe, or they got from the guy who brought them over, the cartel business card. They might have a safe house. An address written on a sheet of paper. That's a document.
All right, here we go.
The trick here is finding language that is both clear, that doesn't dehumanize the people we're talking about, and makes the point in as exact a way as possible, and we're not somehow coloring the debate by the language that we use.
Now, let's get into the weeds.
I want to talk about one other term that has been used in our coverage. Plenty of news organizations have used in past, illegal immigrants.
Oh, that's so wrong.
And for people listening who may be scratching their heads and thinking, okay, but there are folks who come to the U.S. illegally, your note says, NPR journalists, we can use the term illegal immigration, not illegal immigrants. The distinction being what?
What do you think? Oh, because a person can't be illegal.
That people are not illegal. Someone can do something that's illegal, but they are not in and of themselves.
So President Trump.
So we've gone to grammar.
Yes, we cannot say, we should not say President Trump felon. No, President Trump who was convicted of a felony. You see, this is where it's going. 1984.
Well, can they get to, if they're going to go with this grammar, this proper grammar, what about the phrase false accusation when it's just an accusation?
I think you should write a note to NPR, to this guy.
They are not in and of themselves illegal. Okay. So we don't want to do that.
No,
we don't want to do that.
Basic humanity in our coverage of the people
exactly.
That we're writing
about. You know, I also mentioned in the same note that but we try not to use terminology that talks about national phenomena when we're in a flood of immigrants or waves of immigrants, just because you lose the humanity. Each one of these people who comes to this
country. This is all about the humanity.
No matter whether they entered legally or illegal, there's a story behind it. There's an individual story. Our job is to try and get as close to those stories as possible.
That gets to a kind of golden rule of thumb in journalism, which is generally better to use a description than a label. Give us an example or two that come to mind here.
Well, for example, we should say someone had crossed the border.
Let me try it out. So instead of saying literally Hitler or misogynist or rapist, we should use something different. Labels are not good.
Well, for example, we should say someone had crossed the border without permission, or he stayed in the U.S. after his tourist visa expired. It really varies on the individual, but to the extent we can describe a situation, it's always better than labeling that situation. And as you note, that's not exclusive to immigration.
Well, we will be paying attention to you, NPR.
Yeah, because they use labels all the time. And you're right. Misogynist, felon is a label.
Right. How about far right?
Far right. And by the way, they had the woman on who runs the AfD in Germany.
Yeah.
And man, does she was on Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Her English could be better, but she's pretty good.
Yeah.
But she really gave it to this guy over use of the word far right. And she went over and over. She said, we're not far right. We are libertarian conservatives. We are not far right.
We're libcons.
Libcons. Libcons.
I like libcons. Yeah. Libcons is good.
She was very, very good about, and she had big, the AfD is big Trump fans.
Yep.
And she went on and on about how screwed up Germany is, and she blames it all on Merkel.
Oh, yeah, Merkel. Whatever happened to Merkel?
Yeah, she's retired somewhere. She's in Russia.
We could not finish up the show, at least from my perspective, without making fun of the new leader of NATO. Wie naam is Mark Rutte, and he is out there talking about Russia again.
Faced with suspected Russian sabotage, they're taking action. After several hours of discussions, the leaders of NATO countries said they'd be strengthening the alliance's presence in the Baltic Sea.
It will involve a range of assets, including frigates and maritime patrol aircraft.
Frigates and stroopwafels for everybody.
Among others, and will enhance our vigilance in the Baltic.
Yes, enhance.
A small fleet of naval surface drones will also be deployed. The aim is to improve surveillance and deterrence amid a string of incidents in the Baltic Sea, in which power cables, telecom links, and gas pipelines have been damaged in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Hybrid.
European leaders and experts alike suspect Moscow of being behind these acts, known as hybrid warfare.
Hybrid means sabotage. Hybrid means cyber attacks. Hybrid means sometimes even assassination attempts. And in this case, it means hitting on our critical undersea infrastructure, that the alliance will not accept that.
Hybrid is something the alliance will not accept that. No more hybrids.
And that we will do everything in our power to make sure that we fight back.
Fight we will.
NATO has already provided two ships to monitor undersea infrastructure, as well as Russia's shadow fleet, ships sailing under foreign flags, which Moscow is accused of using to export oil to get around Western sanctions. The new mission will continue indefinitely. As the president of Finland, Alexander Stubb, put it, get used to the new normal.
They're soaking the Finns now. They got the Finns into NATO. And
you're right. They're soaking the Finns.
They're soaking the Finns. They're soaking
them. Dummies.
Yeah. Oh, hybrid. Hybrid. Get out of my pants with your hybrid.
Well, since we're catching up on internationals, I might as well play the Korea mess. I have a clip.
Korea mess. That's a big mess.
South Korea's impeached president Yoon Suk-yeol was arrested Wednesday, a first for a sitting president of the country. It's the latest turn in a political crisis sparked by his short-lived declaration of martial law last month, which eventually saw Yoon hiding out at his residence for weeks, protected by personal security to avoid authorities who wanted to detain him on grounds of insurrection.
No.
More than 3,000 police officers marched on Yoon's residence Wednesday, and a motorcade later took him to the country's anti Anti-Corruption Agency, the CIO, or the Corruption Investigation Office for high-ranking officials. South Korean journalists snapped the moment he stepped out of the car and into the agency's offices in Kwachon, just south of Seoul. Investigators have 48 hours to question him. After that, they must release him or seek a warrant to detain him for longer. In a video message recorded before his detention, Yoon said he turned himself in for questioning to avoid any bloodshed and disputed the legality of the investigation and arrest.
Today, when I saw them break into the security area using firefighting equipment, I decided to respond to the CIO's investigation, despite it being an illegal investigation, to prevent unsavory bloodshed. However, that doesn't mean I am acknowledging the investigation of the CIO.
Earlier in the morning, scuffles broke out between Yoon's supporters and police who were trying to arrest him. His lawyers have said the arrest warrant is illegal. They say it was issued by a court in the wrong jurisdiction and the team set up to investigate him has no legal mandate to do so. Lawmakers voted to impeach Yoon last month after his martial law order on December 3rd ushered in unprecedented political turmoil. In a previous attempt to arrest Yoon on January 3rd, the Presidential Security Service and military guards blocked CIO investigators in a six-hour standoff. The agency has since apologized for initially failing to arrest Yoon on that day.
Well, I'm glad we know that. We're up to speed on Korea.
It's a screwball situation.
Do you have an analysis of it?
No, I don't. I can't. I'd like to know what the background is. Well, you know, the rationale for him doing the martial law had something to do with North Korea or
no, it had
communist
to do,
influence.
No. We know that he was going through all the paperwork at the headquarters of the party because he felt there was some kind of election shenanigans going on. That's what we know from boots on the ground, but we don't know much more.
We don't know enough.
And now he's an insurrectionist? Sounds familiar. Let me see. Election was bogus because, you know, he lost all control in parliament, and then all of a sudden he questions that, then you're an insurrectionist. I think that's the template. Then they arrest him. They don't mess around in Korea. I'm going to play your porn site age verification clip. I have one as well, but we'll play this and discuss.
The Supreme Court heard a challenge today to a Texas law that requires age verification for adult websites. A trade group representing adult entertainment performers and companies argues the law violates the First Amendment. After 2 hours of oral argument, a majority of the court signaled that states should be able to impose some kind of age requirement for such websites. This is to ensure that minors can't easily access obscene material online. But several justices also flagged concerns that their ruling could spill over and affect other First Amendment rights. A decision is expected by this summer. The Texas law from 2023 is similar to 19 others enacted around the United States. Under the Texas law, adult websites must require all users to submit personally identifying information verifying that they are at least 18 years old. Challengers, including the American Civil Liberties Union, argue the law is an unacceptable burden to access constitutionally protected free speech. Some adult sites have responded by blocking access entirely in states with age verification laws.
Government digital ID is inevitable. It's coming.
It's not going to stop free porn.
Free porn or pre-porn? What did you say?
Free porn.
No, you're going to have to just to get on the internet.
I'm not sure of this.
I am. I've been saying this for a long time. Eventually.
Yeah, you've been saying it for a long time, and you're going to keep saying it for a long time.
Eventually, I'll be right.
Yeah, I guess you would be.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
There's a lot of shows still to come. Of course, that includes John's infamous tip of the day. We hope it's not as dangerous as the previous one. What you say? Why? Because it is dangerous. Some of his tips are just dangerous to humanity and privacy. And John's now going to thank everybody who supported us, $50 and above. We don't mention under 50 for reasons of anonymity. And here we go.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
He said, opening up the spreadsheet.
No, I got the spreadsheet open. Radu Pertuk in Vero Beach, Florida, starts us off at 124.33. Richard Lindquist in Squim, Washington, 124.33. This must be an update of some amount of money. Not sure what. Sir Ronald Gardner.
With a 33? That's interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Sir Ronald Gardner in San Diego, California, 124.33. Another one. And Yaron Snelders in Ennis, Texas.
Yaron Snelders. He says, just call him JJ. It says it right there.
124.33. Another one. And Jennifer Rain in Snoqualmie, Washington, 124.33. Yet another one. I don't know. Sir Austin in Sammamish, Washington. Had great names in Washington. Oh, these are all Indian tribes. 120.25.
Oh, that was the we got two of the newsletter donation amounts. Two. Count them two. 120.25 was your special donation amount.
Oh, that, okay. 124.33 was the same thing plus the fees.
Plus the fees? Okay, we got it. So we got a couple.
That's what it was. Okay, we had a bunch of them then. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
That was good.
Because the seventh one is Dame Rita, our pal there in Sparks, Nevada, 120.25. That's the celebration of the
new
inauguration. It'll peak out on the next Sunday show.
That's right.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We hope to have more. Mark Kucharski in Aurora, Colorado, 117.77. He's on the birthday list. Lucas Williams in Roswell, New Mexico, $100. Kevin McLaughlin, 8008. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of American boobs. And he is requesting F Cancer Karma for the ladies and their sweater puppies, please. And we have to, because he's really a duke of some, some more than an archduke. We have to give him that right now.
You've got karma.
Yes.
What he says goes. Jonathan Ferris, 8008. William Rowland in Verdale, Washington, 7777. Joseph Weish in Miami, Florida, 7777. Russ Curry in St. Cloud, Florida, 7377. A birthday list you got. He reached 70 now. He's going to be 70.
Right on.
Right arm.
Four more years.
Karaoke. Right. Wow. Yeah. Woo. Uh-huh. Karaoke. In Freehold, New Jersey, 6009, which is a lopsided boobs.
Yes. And
that's a happy birthday donation for not quite a dame karaoke, a.k.a. Carrie Brilliante in Freehold, New Jersey. It's a birthday call out. Les Torkowski, 6006 from Kingman, Arizona. Todd Tarson in Clovis, New Mexico, 5720. Christopher Dechter in 5678. George Yankova in Chesham, UK, 5678. Joshua Britt in Spring Hill, Tennessee, 5560. By the way, the UK donation came through Stripe, which I think is probably easier to use in the UK.
Yes.
And, although, here's a donation that came in.
Joshua Britt thanks Jared Shaw from Nashville for hitting him in the mouth.
Sir Paul in Twickenham. Yeah. Middlesex, UK, 5555. John's grouching about low donations in the newsletter does work.
Of course.
Of course it works. If you don't grouse, nobody pays attention. That's the way I see it. Scott Mangle in Exton, Pennsylvania, 5555. James Edmondson in South Plainfield, New Jersey, 5510. Gregory Brooks, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 5271. And the rest of these are $50 donors. I'm just going to read the names and locations, starting with Brandon Savoy, Port Orchard, Washington, Jared Yaw in Nashville, Dame Patricia Worthington in Miami, Kristen Freeman in San Marcos, Texas, Kevin Dills in Huntersville, North Carolina, Diane Schwanebeck in Johnsburg, Illinois. I think she comes in almost every week.
Yeah.
Chris Slowinski, Sir Chris in Sherwood Park, Alberta, Canada. Michael Perrott in Salem, Oregon. North Stonington, Connecticut brings us Easy Landscapes. Easy Landscapes. Philip Ballou in Louisville, Kentucky. And last on our list of well-wishers and producers is Ethan Wellman in Crown Point, Indiana. And call out Big Joe as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you to all of our producers, $50 and above. Anyone underneath will not be mentioned for reasons of anonymity. You certainly will understand that, of course. That's why you do it. We see you $49.99. And, of course, our sustaining donors who go to noagendadonations.com and enter any amount and any frequency. They set it, they forget it, and support the show for the rest of their lives. We love you very much. Noagendadonations.com. Again, thank you to our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1730. We wouldn't have been able to do it without any of you. Go to noagendadonations.com. Finally, we have a good birthday list. Sir Steve of Steel Creek wishes his son Elijah a happy birthday. He was born on January 7th. Welcome to Gitmo Nation, Elijah. Ty Glander, happy birthday to Sir Libre. Celebrate on the 11th. Lightning Thrashers. Carrie Oakey turned 57 on the 15th. Russ Corey is turning 70 years old today. Gisela Woodsis. What's this? Wishes her smoking hot husband, Tom, a happy one tomorrow. Lindsay Frick, her dad, Larry, happy birthday to him tomorrow. Michael Romano wishes his son, Dario Lou Romano, a happy one. He's turning 1 year old tomorrow. Mark Kucharski celebrates tomorrow. Sir P. the Artist wishes his beautiful daughter, Lily Louise, a very happy birthday. She turns 10 on the 18th. And Lara Beatty wishes her brother, Alex, a happy birthday. He will turn 36 on January 31st. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast the universe. We've got two nights. One of them is Nick, who wrote in.
Yes, this is a good letter.
I apologize for my tardiness in getting you this note to claim my knighthood. The new human resource plus my busy season at work has got me a bit behind, but I digress. I'm honored to become a knight of the best podcast in the universe. I knew No Agenda was the podcast for me and my family when one day in 2022, I walked down the stairs to greet my wife in the morning. She returned the good morning and made a small request. As I was completing this request, I decided to start a conversation, which is good to do with your wife. Before the conversation could get going, she quickly replied with a, "Shut up, slave!" At that moment, it all clicked for me. We've been hooked for the last 3 years. I knew I needed to become a knight of the best podcast in the universe. In my time listening, I've enjoyed attending meetups, hitting others in the mouth, and dropping some No Agenda knowledge on the unsuspecting. Thank you for keeping our amygdala shrunk. Your podcast has become a must-listen at regular speed. Thank you for your courage, and may you never find an exit strategy. Requests, Domain Druhan. Domain Druhan Pinot Noir and Prime
Druhan.
Beef. It says Druhan.
That's pronounced Druhan.
Druhan. That's what I said. Druhan. Domaine Druhan, Pinot Noir, and Prime Beef Porterhouse at the Round Table, you fancy wine snob. Please knight me Sir Rudy of the Northern Shenandoah Valley. The necessary counting is below. Oh, he had some jingles here I didn't see. He wants a Pasta Glock. Sorry about that. Pasta Glock, which is noodle gun. Hold on, I got the noodle gun. Yes, and what else does he want? A jet stream. Okay. All right. F-35, and I'll make that a karma for you. Okay. And we're all set. What else does he say here? Please distribute some jobs karma for myself and the others. Thank you once again. You got it.
I'm going to shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
There you go. So now, very proud to pronunciate these two knights. John, I've got a blade out. Could you bring out your blade?
There you go. Here's the big boy.
Ow. I got it.
Up on the podium, Nick and Julian Swan, both of you are now Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable. I am very proud to pronounce the KV as Sir Rudy of the Northern Shenandoah Valley and Sir Swan of the Equitable Remedies. Gentlemen, for you, we have hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay, prostitutes and cigars, and Domain Duhan, Pinot Noir, and Prime Beef Porterhouse. Oh, it's such a treat. Redheads and Rye there as well. Beers and Blunts, Rubenesque Women and Rosé, Geishas and Sake, Vodka and Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, a Snotty Rag from Dvorak, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum, and of course, as always, the Mutton and the Mead. Head over to noagendarings.com. You can take a look at those fab. Anybody can take a look at those beautiful rings. There's a ring sizing guide. Send us your size and an address to send it off to. They are signet rings, so you can use the accompanied wax to seal your important correspondence. And as always, it is accompanied by a certificate of authenticity. Welcome to the round table of the No Agenda Knights and Dames.
No Agenda.
That's right. No Agenda Meetups, where connection is protection. These are the first responders in your life. Once you've been to a meetup, you will always want to go to a meetup. And we have a couple taking place today, actually. The night of January 16th kicks in at 6:30 tonight at Lincoln's Roadhouse in Denver, Colorado. Charlotte's Thirsty Third Thursday at 7 p.m. tonight, Edge Tavern, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Columbia River Basin Tri-Cities meetup tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Ty's Bar and Grill in West Richland, Washington. Slaves of the Southern Hemisphere, Melee. They meet up. Oh, that's the Argentina, 7 o'clock p.m. Argentina Standard Time. El Nandu, Acasuso, Provincia de Buenos Aires, Argentina. Please send me a meetup report. I'd love to hear that. On Saturday, the Dallas-Fort Worth Mid-Cities, 11:30 in the morning, Bourbon Street Bar and Grill. That is Sir Nerdworks hosting that for you. That's in Bedford, Texas. The Club 33 Inauguration Eve meetup, so the Eve of the Eve, 3:30 on Saturday, Hall's Tavern and Coventry in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Central Ohio meetup, 5:30, Dempsey's in Columbus, Ohio. On Sunday, our next show day, the 33rd Annual No Agenda Mug Club Media Meetup, 2 o'clock at Blackfin Ameripub in Ballantyne, Charlotte, North Carolina. And finally on Monday, the Shrunken Amygdala Inauguration Celebration, 7 o'clock at March 1st Brewing, Cincinnati, Ohio. I demand meetup reports, and don't forget to tip your waiters. Hey, go to noagendameetups.com to find more.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You wouldn't be where you want me, triggered on hell to flame. You wouldn't be where everybody feels the same.
Yeah, baby, it's like a party. John's tip of the day is coming up. I do have to say that a lot of people were very distressed about that tip of the day. I was particularly distressed.
What, because it had a picture of your house?
It has everything. It has, you know, like my previous gender. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there. It's crazy. A lot of people.
There's a lot of people that complimented me for that tip because they found lost relatives.
Well, goody. It's just distressing, and the amount of services out there who are probably the same companies who offer to remove you from the internet, delete me. And if you look at Consumer Reports, if you go in and you find the remove links yourself, you have a much higher percentage of removing it from the internet than using these services, which cost $200 or more per year. What a scam.
Yeah, this is like this is like, what's the other, like the scam that you've already bought into from Spotify. Will you stop paying and your books go away?
Audible, not Spotify. Audible.
Oh, is Audible?
It's Audible, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Spotify.
No, Spotify was the uninterruptible ads. Get it together.
Well, whatever the case, if you buy a audiobook to listen to,
you should be able to keep it. Yeah,
you should be able to keep it. I don't get this taking it away from you because you stopped your subscription.
No, it sits there in your app. You just can't play it anymore. They're horrible people. They're horrible. They're all horrible. The same with your music. You can't download your music anymore. You can't download your movies.
Sure you can.
Okay.
Yeah, you get a VPN. Well, I'll talk about it.
You with your
VPN. It'll be another tip of the day.
You with your VPN. I have two ISOs. Here's the first.
I don't know.
And here's the second.
You're welcome.
And that's all I have.
Well, I was hoping you'd have a bunch. I only have the one, which I think is okay. Best.
And that's the best we can do.
Yeah, I think that is a clear winner. It's perfect. It is always what we do. What is it we do? Why? Because it's the best we can do. And now it's time for the infamous and dangerous John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
All right.
This is something that should have been caught, that everyone should catch on to and start doing. Get, and I have one here in my hand, in my palm. I'm holding it now. I'm holding the box.
You're holding it. Who was, I forgot who was on that clip.
Holly.
Oh, yeah, Josh Holly. I have it here in my hand. You're holding the box. All right. What are you holding, sir?
A dash cam.
Ah, yes.
Do you have a dash cam in your car? No.
I do not. Does anybody?
Everyone should have one. This is the best way to protect yourself against insurance fraud and a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Now, the one I'm holding, I have a couple of these. I have different brands I've bought. This one I'm holding in my hand because it was sent to me for free from a company called Ombar.
Wait a minute. Wait, is John's tip of the day? Is it out in the wild now? The PR company's like, hey, I got great placement for your dashboard cam.
Yeah, on this the is no what I'm looking for. Hey, the tip of the day was designed to lure free product to me. What do you think?
Well, how come you can't get two? Get one for me, too.
I'll try to. I'll work on getting two. Well, you know, we both have to look at it.
Yeah, we have to evaluate it.
I'd get one for Brunetti since he created the segment.
Get three. We need three.
So this particular one I'm holding in my hand, because I'm holding it right now in my hand, is a three-channel. And this is what I'd recommend, even though it's not important. I think more important, you want a 4K so you can read license plates. Three-channel allows you to have the three channels are one's the front-facing camera, the camera that faces the cabin, and then a rear camera, which could come in handy if you get rear-ended. But these are very valuable things, tools for you. You should have in your car for a couple of reasons. One, you can collect data as you drive around. You can just, you know, these are kind of interesting ones, especially in areas that are going to burn to the ground in Los Angeles. You want it to at least have some mementos of what it used to look like. That would be cool. And the other thing is to protect yourself if you get hit by someone or someone runs a red light and you can see it. So get a dash cam.
Well, which
everybody.
One is it? You took their product. He didn't even mention it.
I said it's the Ombar, which means one more bar, three-channel dash cam. That's the one I'm pushing.
And how do you get the video off of the dash cam? Let me guess. Do you have
it's got a port.
Do you have to connect it to the internet and have an account?
No, you can hook right. There's a little cable that hooks right to the dash cam.
Cloud?
You can just download. You can take, hold on. You can do it that way. You can take the card out.
Does it come with a card?
Yeah, it comes with a 64 gig card, even though I would recommend a half terabyte.
And does it come with a YouTube account to upload to the Russian channels?
No, not yet.
Because that's cool.
You can take it off that way, or you can get an app, and it will move it to the phone if you want. But I don't do that. Forget it. I'm not going for that.
Well, I want you to put up some of your video. Put some of your video up. That'd be funny.
I have some video. You know what I did? I took some. I like taking video.
I want
the
in-car camera of you driving around San Francisco.
I don't put the cabin one in, but I think people use the cabin one to do all these TikToks things.
Yes, you should.
Because it's got a microphone.
You should be doing TikToks before it goes away. Get it up and running. Get your show going.
Talk about too little, too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the highlight of my day, and it should be of yours as well. The highlight of every No Agenda show. It is John's infamous tip of the day. Tipoftheday.net, noagendafun.com.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
And we are indebted to Dana Bernetti forever for coming up with this dynamite idea.
You know, I was watching the Today Show today. And I realized it's just we're doing a segment that they all these morning shows are doing, which is plugging products at the end of the show.
Oh. Well, then they do it for the same reason. Free stuff.
Free stuff. We'll see how much free stuff we can get.
At the end of our show, actually the real end, we plug the end of show mixes. David Koechter, Rolando Gonzalez is back. And Leo LePuke returns with another fabulous mix. We appreciate those guys so much. And up next on No Agenda Stream, Random Thoughts. It's the Brad Pitt catfish. Who would want to miss that? Keep it right here on trollroom.io, noagenda.stream, or on your modern podcast app. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Remember to go to those meetups, noagendameetups.com, and remember to support your podcasters. We love you. Do you love us? NoAgendaDonations.com. Until Sunday, everybody. Adios, mofos, a hooey hooey. And such.
Uh-oh. I want to be clear. We're not waiting until those fires are over and we start helping the victims. We're getting help right now, as you all know. People impacted by these fires are going to receive one-time payment of $770. $770. $770.
Algo chasers. That's what they are. They're algo chasers.
Algo chasers.
Warmest year for the Earth since 1851.
A long drought and those powerful Santa Ana winds set up extreme conditions that have fueled those devastating Los Angeles area wildfires. Conditions compounded by climate change. And today, researchers from NOAA and NASA underline that point, releasing analysis showing that 2024 was the hottest year in record. Yay! Back almost 200 years.
The hottest year on record. The hottest year on record.
Climate change makes risk to homeowners unpredictable, which makes home insurance either unaffordable or flat unavailable.
Thousands of families have lost their homes this week. Also gone in the devastating wildfires are pieces of Hollywood history, with a number of historic houses and sets used in iconic TV and film.
My fellow Americans, I'm speaking to you tonight from the Oval Office. Long ago, in New York Harbor, an iron worker installed beam after beam, day after day. He was joined by steel workers, stonemasons, engineers. They built not just a single structure, but a beacon of freedom. The very idea of America was so big, we felt the entire world needed to see the Statue of Liberty. Like America, the Statue of Liberty is not standing still. The foot literally steps forward atop a broken chain of human bondage. She's on the march, and she literally moves. She was built to sway back and forth to withstand the fury of stormy weather. Stand the test of time because storms are always coming. I still believe in the idea for which this nation stands. A nation where the strength of our institutions and the character of our people matter and must endure. Now it's your turn to stand there. May you all be the keeper of the flame. May you keep the faith. I love America. You love it too.
The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden.
The First Lady of the United States, Dr. Jill Biden, ED, has her own Hail to the Chief music, walk-up music just for Jill. Apparently the Marine Band came up with something for her. Hey, wait a second. This sounds exactly like intro music to a show from 1965 called F Troop.
What's going on?
We're shooting a gun.
That's definitely it. There's no way it's anything else.
She's all part of the truth that is ebbing us.
Ain't exactly a million less for Indians either.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
And that's the best we can do.